On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! A minute past the hour. Welcome to a new week of Conversation Radio. I'm Bob, your wonderful you. And I think we're going to have a great week with a couple of hitches along the way, mind you. Let's see. How does this all shake out? Well, first of all, I'm on the air tonight, obviously. Or this evening. Tomorrow morning, depending on where you are. Tuesday and Friday are road days. Wednesday and Thursday should be show days, assuming that the remote rig works as planned. Okie dokie. Beautiful. So that's where we stand. Now, as far, and that's because I'm attending, I'm getting a little bit edumacated, as it were. Going down Kentucky way for some edumacation. And it should be some top-notch stuff, too. Really, really looking forward to it. We'll be leaving early tomorrow. We'll be where we're going by early afternoon. If I'm lucky, I'll shoot some pictures. Maybe a couple of them can get posted on the website. I don't know. All depends. But it was a long weekend, longer for some than others. My beloved Mountaineers stunk up the joint down in North Carolina. On the campus of East Carolina University. I mean, we weren't just bad. We really, really, really bad. We were multifaceted, multi-layered bad. So that made Saturday a little less than it's... You know, I'm a Mountaineer fan. I'm kind of used to it. So there was that. But it was also a long weekend just because of what happens over the course of 2 days. I feel like one of those little fundamentalist evangelicals with the tape on their mouth. I'm forced to be silent. Because of all the stuff that just rolls out, starting with, you know, long about the end of showtime on Friday, and by the time Monday evening rolls around, I'm just, oh, God, you know, and it's all over me. And half the time I leave stuff out anyway because I get all wrapped up in one thing and to the detriment of several others. What's on my mind? What's on your mind? You know the phone number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, Head On. If you want to save us the toll-free toll charges, you can dial direct at 304-658-3333. And you're welcome to do that as well. They both ring into the same phone. And, just take them in the priority they come in. Because I figure after this weekend and the ongoing saga of Palin, and the ongoing saga of just the twisted world that we live in terms of how we receive our information, jumping chimney. First of all, there was this. Have you heard about this manufactured snit? Now, I'm generally not caught in front of the. Frankly, I wouldn't know where to go on the TV box to find the Oprah Winfrey Show. Okay, and that's how out of it I am. I just TV's not something I do. If I've got a few spare minutes at 10 p.m. Eastern time tonight, I will sit down. And I will watch the only other thing besides college football and college basketball and the occasional baseball game that I watch on television. And that'll be No Reservations with Tony Bourdain. But like I said, I wouldn't know where to go about finding the Oprah Winfrey Show. I generally don't care about the Oprah Winfrey Show. I have respect for Oprah Winfrey, but all of those shows, you know, I was a naked, narcissistic, transgendered, bestial hooker stuff. Don't get it, whether it's Jerry Springer, Oprah Winfrey, or any of the host of others who do that shtick. I don't get it. I don't expect them to understand political or cultural social talk on the radio either, so, you know, it all balances out. But I feel a certain urge to come to, yeah, because she needs me to do this, to come to Oprah's defense. But the right wing, over the course of the weekend, just made one up, and they do that. They just make stuff up. Just make it up, pretend that it's real, and the for-profit media, owned by, you know, major conservative corporations, the for-profit media says, yeah, that's it, that's the ticket, it's real, even though it's not, it's real. We manufacture the reality here. This is real, citizen. Be afraid. No, really. Matt Drudge, that creepy little dude with the hat and the really cheesy website, reported late last week that there was a furious debate going on inside the production staff of the Oprah Winfrey Show. Now, first of all, I can't imagine a furious debate going on with the staff of the Oprah Winfrey Show because, pardon me if I'm wrong, Oprah owns Oprah, Oprah owns her production company, Oprah owns the studios in which, I mean, you know, what doesn't Oprah own? What Oprah says goes. But no, not according to Matt Drudge, not according to the Hedda Hopper of right wing world, okay? No, because he said, oh, there's a furious disagreement on whether to invite Sarah Palin onto the program. And you know where it went from there? It went from there to that liberal Oprah won't let Sarah Palin, God's anointed vice presidential candidate, won't let her come on the show. She must be a Muslim. No, really. Except for the Muslim part. But the right wing just made that crap up. Oprah won't let poor little Sarah Palin, on her program. She won't interview her. And we're gonna boycott Oprah. We're gonna boycott that Oprah woman. I don't know. I ain't never watched it before because Pat Robertson ain't on it. But we're gonna boycott that Oprah. Yeah, really. I'm not kidding. So the pig-licking women of Florida have announced the official boycott of Oprah Winfrey. Mm-hmm. Gonna show her. We wouldn't even show up. No, if we showed up and she gave us a Pontiac, we wouldn't take it. Because we're a boycotting Oprah Winfrey. We sure are. Because she wouldn't invite Sarah Palin on her program, even though she hadn't invited Sarah Palin on her program, and even though none of Sarah Palin or Palin's people had ever even contacted the Oprah program about getting her on there. Mm-hmm. We're going to boycott that woman. We are going to boycott her plumb to pieces. Hot diggity. Praise Jesus. So let's review just for the fun of it real quick. They've got a boycott. And they've got a target of their boycott, that Oprah Winfrey. She's liberal. See, it's because she's for that Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know about his mama, don't you? She's an atheist. So they've got their target. They've got their boycott. The only problem is they don't have a controversy. Ms. Winfrey said that she would be happy to have Sarah Palin or Palin on as soon as the election's over. And that she hadn't invited Joe Biden on either. But see, those are facts. And as their patron saint, Ronnie the Ray Gun, said, well, Mommy, facts are stupid things. You know, he really did say facts are stupid things. He meant to say facts are stubborn things. That's what the saying is. That's the, yeah, But no, he said, facts are stupid things. And that's the way the Republican Party has behaved ever since. So look out, Oprah Winfrey. Them Republican women from Florida, they's gonna show you. Mm-hmm. You can't just go around snubbing God's anointed vice presidential candidates and get away with it, you liberal you. See if we buy anything they advertise on your program. Yeah, see? We're writing your advertiser as soon as we find somebody who, you know, one of these pig licking women from Florida. As soon as we find one who actually knows how to write, we're gonna write letters to your advertisers. Mm-hmm. We sure enough are. You better believe it. You're gonna do it. So there's that. And then across the way, Keith Olbermann, who I'm sure many of you watch. Well, he was doing coverage of the Republican conclave, and they ran that bloody shirt video of September the 11th, which, by the way, was updated a little bit because with the latest version, you know, 9/11 Part 2 Beta A.1. Roman numeral 1. Now it's apparently, if you watch that stupid thing, now it's apparently the Iranians who did 9/11. I know, we know. We're in the reality-based community. We know it wasn't Iranians or Iraqis. We know that September the 11th, 2001, the terrorist attacks, we know they were perpetrated by a handful of, don't tell anybody, Saudis. You know, the Bush family's business partners. Yeah, those Saudis. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know that 15 out of the 19 hijackers were Saudis. We know that a couple of others were Egyptians and a couple of others were Yemenis, but it was mostly Saudis. And we know this. Shh, don't tell the Republicans. They done had 8 years of being told it was the Iraqis, and now they're getting told it's the Iranians. Iraqis, Iranians, iPods, iRivers, iLife. It's all a conspiracy. Mm-hmm. So Keith Olbermann comes out and just tells the truth and points out the fact that it should not have been broadcast on television. That it was kind of sleazy. And that there are a lot of people who still have open wounds from that horrible day. So what does Keith Olbermann get for his honesty? What does Keith Olbermann get for his truthfulness? He gets canned. Yep. Oh, he'll go ahead and keep on doing countdown. But he won't be anchoring no more political coverage. Nope, 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 nope. They're going to bring in David Gregory. They're actually going to bring in to anchor their political coverage on MSNBC, on NBC. They're going to bring in the guy who got up on stage and did that cheesy-ass rap with Karl Rove. You remember MC Rove? Remember that thing that was just embarrassing? Well, David Gregory got up and played in that. Yeah, he's going to be the neutral, unbiased, no axe to grind. Yeah, that's the guy. And again, all because some Republicans squealed like pigs. But bear in mind, it's the liberal media. Really? No kidding. The liberal media. Mm-hmm. So there you go. There's a couple to chew on at the beginning of the program. Of course, anything else you want to bring to the table is more than fine by me. We've got more fun stuff out there. A couple of fun facts out of beautiful downtown Baghdad coming your way later in the program, if I possibly get to it. But for now, at about 15 minutes past the hour, let's go ahead and go to the phones. I hate to keep people waiting. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, this is Juanita.
Hey, Juanita, how are you?
I'm full of it.
No, I feel like I've had it up to here, too. Yeah, about up to my chin.
Uh-huh. Well, I do have a report on The View, and I guess it all kind of ties in. You know, Elizabeth was at the Republican convention the last couple of days. And she came back today, of course, and she's just so, you know, overwhelmed with happiness. But what was funny was they didn't send anybody to the Democratic convention. But that's beside the point. And then Friday, himself and $300,000 outfit wife is going to be on Friday. I guess they'll be showing a lot of the stuff that she did, which seems they showed previews.
But they're not going to have. But they're not going to have Sarah Plain on, or Palin.
I think she had a private interview with her.
She's doing a private interview with Charlie Gibson from ABC. So, you know,
well, according to The View, I don't know what day they'll show it. She had a private interview, you know, and of course she had Hannity. This is the people that I saw her talking to today, like a preview. John Voight. John Voight said, oh, it's so hard to be right wing in Hollywood. Well, we're nice people. We're brave people to stand it out for what we
believe.
Because
those mean old liberals, they're all the time sticking a match in your shoe and giving you a hot foot or dipping your pigtails in the ink wells. We're mean, us liberals.
Then she was with Sean Hannity, and he said, oh, when you're on, our ratings just go way up. You're a rating magnet. And she gave him a little T-shirt. And then they switched over to Stephen Baldwin. And I don't know why when these people become saved that they have to become Republicans. I don't know why, but I've been in there.
Because the evangelical right-wing fundamentalist religion industry is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Repig-Licking Party, Juanita. I mean, didn't you read the comments from Sarah Palin's preacher?
I didn't read that. I heard something. What did you read?
Well, where he said that... anybody who criticized the pastor or George Bush was a going to hell.
Right.
And that he wasn't sure if any, and this was during 2004, he said, I'm not sure if any of you people voted for John Kerry, I'm not even sure if you're saved anymore.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I heard him say that. But let me tell you this. You know, I told you I got hoodwinked into that stuff with Pat Robertson, and I got out. And I felt I wasn't going to lie to God, you know, because I knew in my heart I could not be a right-winger. I tried because I thought they were right and I was wrong. And I felt guilty about it for a long time that I had turned away, but I said, I don't think God would want me to be two-faced to him, you know, if you know what I'm saying.
Sure, I do. Sure.
And so... I said, I just pray. I said, God, if you want me to be right-wing, then you're going to have to change me. But he didn't do that. I think he likes me a lot better. And it took a long time for that guilt because I felt like I might be going to hell if I, you know, voted against that.
That's their hope. That's their goal, Juanita. That's exactly what they mean for it to do.
And a lot of those people don't have the background that I had in, you know, my daddy and mother. I mean, my daddy especially, he was a liberal from the word go, you know. And, but I was at a time in my life, you know, where I needed help and all, and I was mixed up and everything else, and I was trying to follow them. So I understand people that get into it. But a lot of people, they don't have any other background. I mean, that's the way it's always been for them. They don't know any different. But you got, like, Stephen Baldwin now. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, he's the bad Baldwin.
And I think it's like Alex said, one day they're going to turn on him, turn on Stephen, because one day maybe he'll wake up, because he is really toeing that line. That Republican line, and that's what I just could not get. I just couldn't get it. And politics is, that kind of politics is why I left and quit going to church, absolutely. But so I understand that. Well, then, getting back to the View, it showed a little, oh, yeah, she also ran into Henry Kissinger, and she told him that Barbara said, would say hello, and he started calling her Barbara. So I didn't know if he was mixed up or he was just being cute. But anyway, then it showed where she had a tribute. She went to, she was in charge of a tribute to Cindy McCain, but she introduced to Todd Palin and told him that America fell in love with his wife, so he would have to share her. And then he got on, and he didn't. I didn't.
Well,
think
well, to modify that old ditty. Somebody needs to sing a bar or two to Elizabeth Hasselbeck of "You Can Have Her, I Don't Want Her, She's Too Nuts for Me."
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. But she's on cloud nine. But anyway,
and she's on then, something.
Then, yeah, and then Todd introduced Cindy. And of course, they didn't show all of that. It was just like little bits and pieces. So that was pretty wild. So I expect to be hearing from some of that stuff all week. And then the wonderful wind-up will be, you know who I'm talking to, himself and $300,000 outfit. Now, did she think that they were going to the Academy Awards or something?
I don't know. With that Jane Jetson collar on that canary yellow thing, that was like two steps away from the swan dress that Icelandic singer wore a few years ago. But Lord.
And, oh yeah, I remember that. But you know, Laura, hers was only $4,000.
Well, now see, Cindy's was only $3,000 or $4,000 too. But then you work in the diamond necklace, the diamond earrings, the diamond encrusted USN USMC thing, and bang! The next thing you know, you're at $250,000 outfit.
Well, I had a little article. I don't know if you got it or not. I think it came back to me or something. But anyway, that about how many salaries would it pay to Walmart worker.
Oh, mercy, I didn't see that. That's the kind of stuff
I think it came back to me, because I got something that did come back, but I was afraid to look into it.
But you know what blows my mind is the fact that, you know, these right-wing horses' rear ends, okay? Senator Jim Inhofe.
Oh, yeah, now he's back again.
Yeah, Dr. Freak, whatever.
He just...
Yeah, he gave an interview to a newspaper, and he said, "Do you really want to have a guy as commander in chief of this country when you can question whether or not he really loves his country? You have to question why at times he seems so obviously opposed to public displays of patriotism and national pride, like wearing an American flag lapel pin."
Yeah.
And God bless him, the boys over at WD40.com. Clyde and Wally and Dookie. Wally put this particular one up. Not wearing an American flag lapel pin. Guess who wasn't wearing an American flag lapel pin on her little Jane Jetson Tweety Bird outfit that cost $300,000?
Well, that would have just messed it up.
It would have thrown it all out of balance. It would have been a complete fashion tragedy if she'd been wearing an American flag pin. Yeah, I know. And by the way, I saw some photographs of Cindy from a couple of years back where she's got this sort of salt and pepper, iron gray kind of hair thing going on, befitting a...
Really?
Yeah. And what's with the Botox and the dye job and the... And you know what? I think Senator McCain may have been right. I think she does lay on the Mary Kay with a trowel. My God, you could measure that stuff with a... Never mind. But, yeah, I mean...
Well, since I've done that before, I shouldn't laugh.
But she's had work done, and you know, I'm told by someone who's very, very good at analyzing photographs that Sarah Palin's had work done too.
Now, I wouldn't be surprised.
Now here
you
are all.
You know, go ahead.
No, please.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, the one, the TBN, the, you know, the with Jan.
Yeah, Paul and Jan Crouch, sure.
I read where they had, she, you know, she's had to have something done because she's way up there. But anyway, they were supposed to have this Christian Women's Plastic Surgery Club.
Wait, stop. No, my little pumpkin head's going to explode. A Christian Women's Plastic Surgery Club?
Uh-huh.
Is that like hair club for men? Is this like skin club for Jesus?
I tried to tell my right-wing friend about it, and because she's still into them. She don't like Robinson anymore. But anyway, I tried to tell her about it, and she said, I can't believe Chan said anything. Now, well, look at her neck, how smooth it is, her skin, how smooth. And then she has a purple wig on.
There are things that time and gravity do to the human body, both male and female, that you really can't much get around. You know, from the turkey neck to, you know, the sagging jowls and stuff like that. Well, look at Fred Thompson.
Lord.
That craggy-faced old thing looks like his face is made out of Play-Doh.
He's looked that way for years, too.
Well, yeah, he has.
Or maybe worse.
But let's see, just to do him credit, Jim Inhofe said you can't trust Barack Obama because he won't wear a flag pin.
Yeah.
And just to be clear on this, these are all photos from the Republican National Convention.
Yeah.
There's Norm Coleman, no flag pin. There's Willard Romney, no flag pin. Laura Bush, you terrorist tramp, no flag pin. And then there's old Pappy Bush and that hateful old beast, George's mama, what potty trained him at gunpoint and accounts for a whole lot of this. Ain't neither one of them got a flag pin on. No flag pin on Fred Thompson. The genocidal Joe Liverman, no flag pin. Lots of diamonds on the USN, USMC pin that Cindy McCain's wearing. No flag pin. No flag pin on radical fundamentalist cleric Mike Huckabee. No flag pin on Sarah Palin. No flag pin on the party's own nominee, John McAncient. You know, it goes on and on and on. Un-Americans. Un-Americans, every last one of them.
Yeah.
But there's all of this stuff. I mean, I warn, but advise, you know, keep your eyes open, pay attention, gonna get nasty. Well, now it turned, this latest little bit of slander and libel and sleaze and filth and garbage, this latest one, Juanita, you heard the flag thing?
Them stealing flags?
Yeah, the Democrats was going to throw American flags in the garbage, and we rescued them and took them to the Republican National Convention.
I didn't read.
But it turns out some Repiglican stole them from Invesco Field at Mile High Stadium, stole them, and took them to the Republican Convention, and then concocted this entire bogus BS, dummied up, ginned up, faked up, rubed up, contrivance to further the ongoing libel that Democrats don't love America.
I'm sure they're going to be prosecuted for that, aren't they?
That would be no.
To the utmost, no.
They will be prosecuted to the least extent of the law.
Oh Lord, they said now that Rove is really taking charge.
Well, you can see it because I've noticed in the attacks on Joe Biden, what's the classic Rove tactic? Take a failing of your candidate and project it onto the other side.
Yeah.
Well, I saw that stuff start bubbling out this weekend with complaints that Joe Biden has lost his mind, that Joe Biden is too old, that Joe Biden's brain may be in danger. all the things that we know to be true about John McCain, they're projecting onto Joe Biden.
I saw him, I guess on a video or something, I guess recent, and that place on his cheek has puffed out even more.
His whole, one side of his face is going to fall off before this campaign's out. I mean, it all may be mortician's wax at this point anyway. He may actually look like the Crypt Keeper dude from the Tales from the Crypt series from a few years back.
He's, I don't believe I know that one.
Well, lucky you. Basically, it was an animated skeleton. I think John McCain gets home at night and pulls off the rubber Mission Impossible mask, and basically, he's a skull.
Well, I kind of feel for him having that problem. You know, I've had some skin cancer myself, not that serious, but I do have feelings for him, but that don't mean I want him for my president.
Well, there's having sympathy for him, and then there's thinking that one's sympathy creates in him competence to be the president. It doesn't. Look, I'm the palest man on the planet, or at least in the United States. I get a sunburn under the refrigerator light bulb.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm sympathetic to that. But you know what? John McCain, old 894, he has the best socialized medicine that America can offer. He has never not had socialized medicine, and he will be taken care of to the nth degree. How many people with melanoma do you reckon are out there that are just slowly dying a horrible death because they don't?
Yeah. I had a cousin that died about 20 years old.
Mercy.
But
and these are melanomas above the neck. Melanoma above the neck is not promising.
No. No. I think his started under the arm.
But now it's made it all the way up to his face? Yes.
I'm talking about my cousin.
Oh, oh okay.
About John.
Well, it's all over his head. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy's a multiple cancer survivor. Look, if America puts him into the White House, you will have President Plain or Palin inside of 3 years.
Who do you think would be your vice president?
Mike Huckabee.
Oh, God. Oh, me. Well, she, the one thing I would like to know now his, him saying that her preacher saying he doubted that they were Christians, you know, if they voted for,
Carrie? Yeah.
Carrie and all, yeah. And, couldn't that fall under the same thing as, why would she believe that, and why would she listen or being questioned about it, like Barack Obama?
Well, it would. Like, yeah, the whole thing with Reverend, it would, except for one thing, Juanita.
Uh-huh, I know.
I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. It's okay if you're a Republican.
Absolutely right. You're absolutely correct.
She's rubber, Barack's glue, what bounces off her, you get the end.
Said, you are correct, sir. Yeah. Well, sometime I want to talk to you about Obama, but I don't want to go into it today, and I'd take too much time, but something I've been thinking seriously about. But it's kind of like, it's something thus saith Juanita. It's not, I don't know if it's from God or not, but it's, might be.
Might be.
It might be that he's given us a chance. Did you see this weekend, maybe you didn't get a chance, on C-SPAN, they showed both of them speaking to the AARP.
Oh, really?
Have you seen that at all?
No.
Well, they did. They both were by remote, and Obama was on first, and then they had a chance to ask him questions. And Obama was wonderful. I mean, you know, he went into a lot of details of talking, and Doolally got on there, and he was, like, saying his speech. He started talking about the young people, what we need to do for the young people in education. And, all, you know, he's getting off that subject, all just going into his thing. It was like night and day. But Obama was really went into all that detail, you know.
Obama's a smart guy. He's the smartest. He's the smartest guy in the room. He's
and
the smartest
thinking,
guy. To, he's the smartest guy to run for president since Bill Clinton. You know, Bill Clinton, Rhodes Scholar, all of that stuff.
Yeah, I'm thinking. See, what I'm thinking is that God has given us a chance to have someone wonderful. Now that's I'm not speaking for God. I'm speaking for me. It's just an idea. And maybe he's going to see if we will accept it. And if we don't, do you know what we'll get?
Well, look, it's always one of those behold, I stand at the door and knock kind of things, Juanita.
Yeah.
Somebody got to answer the door.
Yeah, that's right. You got that right.
But the American people have been trained, and I'm not talking about you or me or the folks listening to this program, but the American people, by and large, by the for-profit media, have been trained, Juanita, to distrust intelligence. No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
We went from being a nation founded by brilliant men, people Jefferson, Madison, Adams, even Alexander Hamilton, although Alexander Hamilton was an evil son of a gun.
And that was what was expected.
Yeah, and you wanted, hard. You know, you wanted. I mean, did Dwight Eisenhower ever aw shucks his way? You know, oh dang, I'm just too stupid. Did he ever do any of that? Did FDR ever pretend to be a moron? How about even Herbert Hoover? You know, John Kennedy didn't go around, you know, doing the stupid act. Granted, Lyndon Johnson held a beagle up by his ears one time, but he never pretended to be an idiot. Richard Nixon never pretended to be stupid. But we've gotten to a point in American politics where the ability to appear too dumb to breathe on your own is apparently a requirement to hold office now, and it just astonishes me.
I think he's really given us a chance, and that's Juanita.
I understand. But I can identify with some of that, Juanita. I really can.
Yeah.
But bear in mind that within that sort of theological thinking, you know, Satan is the prince of this earth, and, you know, he's... And the good guys have to fight with one foot in a bucket.
One what?
One foot in a bucket. So that
I know.
The forces of evil are the forces that bring us these people that persist in trying to destroy what's left of what used to be a pretty doggone nice place to live.
Yeah, right. And I know that I'll be very depressed if we don't win, but. You know, I'll just have to live with it one way or the other. But we may all have problems.
Hey, by the way, did you know John McCain was a POW? I was just checking. I mean,
really?
Yeah. I heard that the other day. John McCain was POW.
Oh, well, then I want him to be president.
I wouldn't ever have known it had I not just seen it.
Quietly
mentioned at the Republican convention.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, they didn't hardly mention it at all. It was so tastefully done.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, John McCain's POW.
Well, you know, that's the way they are. They're very tasteful.
They are that.
Oh, did you know the guy that that spoke out when he was starting on his acceptance speech at the Republican convention? Did you know that he was a Vietnam veteran against the war?
Yep. Sometimes I think my head's just going to... Yeah, it's just one of these days. It's just going to pop. Golly, Ned. It's horrifying. But that's, you know, that's okay. You know, they'll just make up more stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, now, you know, McCain is supposed to be the running for change. They're trying to take over, you know.
Well, I need all the change I got. I can't give him any of mine. Because Lord knows I don't have any folding money.
It is included.
Darn right. It gets much worse. I'm gonna convert the currency and start melting it down for the copper and sell it for the dead weight.
Oh, another thing I'll tell you about Elizabeth before I forgot it. I almost forgot. she talked to his mother and hugged and kissed her.
Well, I guess that, are there any questions left then?
Yeah.
All that hugging and kissing.
Now my son says she wants to get a post on Fox. You know, and she would be typical because she really believes that stuff.
Yeah, but don't they have pretty much all their slots filled with that kind of folks?
Well, they can make an exception.
Just kind of shoehorn her in.
Well, you know, Sean Hannity, can recommend her.
Oh mercy!
She might even take Keith
Olbermann's. Oh God!
Yeah.
Well, you know, keep your eyes peeled down there, Juanita, because you never know when you're going to run into one of them pig licking women of Florida who's gonna boycott Okra.
They're all over the place, son.
Yeah,
all over the place.
And they're gonna make Oprah Winfrey feel their terrible wrath.
Did you know when we had those three hurricanes that came through here? And it was the year before Katrina. And we had them direct here.
Mm-hmm.
It only went through counties that went Republican.
I remember that. Yeah, that's true.
And notice that my county went Republican.
You'd think people would notice this, but no, not so much. They're too busy rolling on the floor and babbling in the aisles and handling snakes and drinking strychnine, having a high old time and going to just, oh mercy! There are videos out there, Juanita. I saw a couple of them this morning that just piece by piece and point by point show exactly what kind of church Sarah Palin goes to.
I watched some of those. Yeah.
You know where they fall out. You know, I think Juanita, and I think sometimes when I just rattle that phrase off, strychnine, drinking, snake handling, floor rolling, tongue speaking.
Mm-hmm.
All of that. The people think, oh, there goes Bob again making light. Yeah. They're not really like that.
No.
Yes, they're really like that. There's video footage out there of this same denomination and people just laughing hysterically, slaying the spirit and rolling in the floors and babbling in and, you know, just babbling away. And it's, oh, come on, it's not an unknown tongue. They're not speaking ancient Proto-Hebrew. Oh, for heaven's sakes. But that's the kind of woman she is, and I don't, you know, look, she can be that if she wants to. But it is, I would think that that kind of behavior tends to make one less than qualified to hold office, because if you believe that kind of stuff, it kind of means that you can just sit around and ignore problems that need addressing while, you know, you're waiting for the miracle.
Yep, except they don't want anybody they think is Antichrist.
They wouldn't know an Antichrist any more than they'd know Christ.
Well, according to Jerry Falwell, it was supposed to be Jewish.
Now, Hagee says the Antichrist is going to be at least part Jewish.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what else, an atheist?
It's hard to know at this point. They change the rules so often, you really can't tell. But, you know, these they're dangerous. They're just dangerous. That's all I can say. You know, and John McCain says, my friends, I will appoint Democrats to my cabinet. Oh, really, John? Which ones? No, you know, newsflash, appointing Joe Lieberman does not count as appointing a Democrat because he isn't.
Oh, Joe Lieberman said he's still a Democrat.
No. No, I will gladly take on the mantle of declaring who is and who ain't and he ain't.
Those two look like they're in some kind of a state of mind. They both are going around with this grin, this silly grin.
That's because they know the fix is in.
Huh?
That's because they know the fix is in.
Yeah, probably. But it's like they're in some kind of a trance.
Well, they may very well be.
They may very well be.
Well, Juanita, have yourself a wonderful evening.
You too. And I'll talk to you a little more about Obama.
Okay, well, we will catch up.
I'll report on The View, because this week is going to be something else.
I'd just like to see, I would honest to goodness like to see Joy and Whoopi just light into that Alaskan caribou Barbie. I would just love to see that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They did show like a preview of her and them together. So maybe she... Well, you know, can I just say one more thing about Oprah?
You can say anything you want to on it.
About Oprah?
Mm-hmm.
She could invite her on, doesn't mean she won't come, because she's breaking those interviews.
Well, no, see, this is all dummied up and set up. This is a fix, okay? Because if Oprah was to knuckle under and say, all right, I'll invite her on. No, you've already proved that you hate her and you want to get her on here to persecute her, so we're not going to put her on because you don't love Jesus.
But you know what? I got news for them. Her fans are very loyal. They're not going to like people turning against Oprah.
That's true, but again, it's a manufactured boycott, so they can declare victory anytime they want to.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I know.
We shall see what we shall see.
All right. Take care, Juanita.
Okay, you too.
Bye now.
Have a safe trip tomorrow.
Oh, thank you. I'll certainly try.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. That's View correspondent Juanita calling from Florida, home of the Oprah boycott. Oh, for pity's sakes. What a bunch. What a bunch these people are. He's right. We're going to boycott her. Jeez. But the lunacy is just all over creation. I mean, and I've already gotten my first email. Hey, Bob, how about something besides Sarah? Okay, but the fact is, everything's going to roll back around to the people on this ticket, because everything that we think matters will be destroyed or continued, depending on whether it's evil or not, under those two people. And there is some disturbing stuff out there. Just got some polling data in from the folks at Crosswalk. You know, I told you last week about this poll that they did. And the email I got in, of course, this is a right-wing outfit. The graphic even shows a red elephant in silhouette carrying a Bible. No, really. McCain wins over the undecided and secures the evangelical vote. Before the vice presidential pick, 73% of evangelicals were going to vote for McCain, and 10.5% were undecided. After the pick of the Floor Roland Sarah, it goes up to 80%. I told you guys, it wasn't a stealth pick. It wasn't some sort of false flag operation. They wanted this woman. Specifically and precisely to bring out and energize the fundies, the evangelicals, to get them to go scurry into the polls like they do every election, to vote for them a God-fearing repiglican. It gives me... It gives me real fear. You know, emails roll in from our pal Sophie. Drudge will be drudge. What's disturbing to me, and this is increasingly happening, it's when ABC and others pick up the Oprah versus Palin dumbness and run a 3-page article on it, making it official news, or an article I read yesterday on Palin, which not only contained a quote from the Wall Street Journal, but cited an interview Palin had with Newsmax, Newsmuck, my favorite site, yeah. The for-profit media is increasingly bringing information from these rabid blog sites into the legitimate news. Sophie says, I gave up on David Gregory the night he did a rap routine. That's what I was talking about, the MC Rove rap, the shtick with Karl Rove at, you know, God, it was the White House Correspondents' Dinner, the Washington Press Corps Dinner, the one of those little micro lodges that they've got there. And lo and behold, no more Keith. By the way, I guess Rachel Maddow's program premieres this evening, right after Countdown. But, you know, goodbye, Keith Olbermann. Now, granted, he's got a nice $4 million a year salary that's supposedly extended to, like, 2013 or something. But, just the same, his voice is not going to be allowed to be heard in NBC's political coverage. Nope. It's all home on the range now. Nothing will be heard. Never is heard a discouraging word. Oh, God. So, you know, just be forewarned. And, yeah, there is a ton of other stuff out there. Although, well, let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. Good evening.
Hey, Ed, what's up?
Not a whole lot. Just listening to your program, and I think you guys are holding back a little bit on this Sarah.
Holding back how, Ed?
Well, I don't think, you know, like, for instance, they have it out now that one of the babies, that girl of hers had another baby, and she took blame for her having it. You know, but that is a little concern to me about the baby and who had it. You know, her family, but her line, and she thinks she's a all-time movie star already.
Oh, look, she tried to ban books. She fired people when she was the mayor of that little 5,000-person town. She's a nasty one, Ed. Nasty
not
one.
Not only that, I saw it on one program where when she was boasting about how good she did the economy when she was mayor, they said she left that town deep in debt.
$20 million, to be precise.
Yeah, well, I haven't heard you all talk that, but I also just tuned in. But they're gonna expose her for what she is, and
well, who, Ed? Though that's what scares me. Who's gonna expose her?
Well, the Democrats are real good about laying down and rolling over and not doing it. I don't give a damn. She is a woman, you know. I'd say charge. If she's got that, she's left herself. She took her coat off when she run for office. So let's see what she looks like. You know, I don't, that don't bother me to, you know, well, you can't attack a woman. Hell, you can't. They got equal rights. They ought to have equal exposure. And you can, it's, what in the heck is wrong with this nation that we're even this close in an election after the Republicans have done?
Oh, Ed, I've gotten a series of emails over the weekend from one of our longtime listeners down in South Carolina, our buddy David, and he keeps sending me these stories saying, Bob, what in the world's happening here? What's happening here? Look at this, and you know, like the poll numbers and everything. Oh, for heaven's sakes, how on earth could anybody watch that? What you were saying? How could they watch that Republican convention and think that there was anything to it? Was there a single new idea put forward in that thing, Ed? I didn't see any.
You want the truth? I didn't even watch McCain speak. I turned that on just enough to get disgusted, which was 5 minutes, and turned that crap off.
Well, all it was 45 minutes of I was a POW.
Yeah, well, like you said, too, did they mention him crashing 4 planes that was worth $1 billion apiece? Did they watch him? Did they really expose what he was and how he voted and how close he was to George Bush? No, hell, you didn't find out nothing about him that was negative. But the nation is what I'm disappointed in, and especially West Virginia is still in the red. You know, what does it, and it all comes back to race. I really believe that, and I believe this nation is looking at race. And what brought that on was people like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and people like that are scared to death to vote black because of what kind of influence they're afraid you're going to have on Obama. And I don't like him, but he wasn't my choice for sure. But I just don't believe that they'll influence him or that they will have a position on the
campaign. Who's going to have more influence? Who's going to have more influence? You reckon the oil companies will have influence on the McCain, the McPalin administration?
Yeah, they already own him.
And I worry, you know what, that tends to do me a lot more harm than any perceived influence that any individual might have on the Obama administration. And frankly, to think that one person would have influence over another because of skin color sells out the intelligence of Barack Obama. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that the Republicans make up. That's just made up stuff.
The thing of it is, people are buying it. People, and not only that, they don't come out and say it. They just plant a little seed, and the next thing you know, people are saying that. You know, I have a friend who's a Muslim. I said, where the heck do you get that crap at? I said, he might have went to school as a very young child to something like that. But I said, he's been going to a Christian-type school or a church for years.
Well, you know, just between us, Ed, though, I mean, where did we get the notion, seeing how the Constitution explicitly says it's not the case, where did we get the notion that somebody's religion has anything to do with their ability to be the president of the United States?
Well, we're not supposed to let that influence.
I mean, the Constitution says there shall be no religious test for holding office in the United States.
That's exactly how I feel, too. It, whether I knew that or not, I would say that has no influence. But
Now, to be fair, I'm a little nervous about the vice presidential choice that McCain made, because that woman believes that if they can get enough things to start exploding, Jesus is going to come back. And that's distressing, and that's disturbing. I mean, this woman comes, and I know you've probably been in them. I know I have, Ed. This woman comes from a church where people flop up out of the pews or chairs or benches or whatever they have and go to rolling on the floor and hollering and frothing at the mouth.
You know, I've seen them run down the back of the pews, and I was looking at them, and the guy's sister said, what do you think of that, Ed?
Well, now if we found out that Sarah Palin had done some floor rolling of her own, what would that make you think?
Well, I used to whip kids for doing stuff like I saw in some of those Pentecostal churches.
I mean, can you imagine her being somewhere in a very, very important negotiation or a summit meeting with, say, Vladimir Putin, and the next thing you know, she's rolling on the floor and laughing and frothing at the mouth and babbling words that aren't words. And can you just see that?
Yeah. Well, Bob, here's another thing. I heard you use the term unknown tongue. There is no such thing as an unknown tongue. Anything that is spoken, if the gifts are in operation in a particular church, is still that tongue is known by some.
The problem is, it's a fraud.
Yeah.
It's a fraud. It doesn't happen. I mean, it's all emotionalism. It's generated from within the, it's not a tongue. That's the thing. It's just babble. I mean, I can sit here. I've done it on the, I can sit here and do it behind the microphone right now.
Well, that's the reason I lean toward, guys like Charles Stanley and Billy Graham. But the rest of these idiots, I don't have any, especially John Hagee and the group that's around him. I just don't have any use for that, and I I don't want to sound like I'm anti-Christ or, you know, against believing, but I don't believe in all that. You know, they need to be in Hollywood if they're going to do this stuff.
Oh, that's a darn good way of putting it, because that's what it is. It's an act.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I wanted to ask you, if I'm not too far along, I need you to give me a call after the show. I got some stuff going here.
Okie dokie, I can do that.
I'll just make it real brief. My attorneys and the judges are having their meeting tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I need, we just need to talk just a couple minutes if you've got
sure.
time.
Sure, be happy to help.
If you will, let me listen a while.
Okay, I'll put you back on hold.
Stay on there and give them hell. You know, I am, Bob, I'm not so mad at that woman and McCain as I am a nation of fools.
That's why I keep saying this is not an election. This is an IQ test.
God damn, we've done failed it. But I just still can't believe. I can't even believe that West Virginia is going to go red.
Well, it may not. If they campaign, it'll go for McCain if this ground is given up to McCain. All right. If Bill and Hillary come down here and do some campaigning and some stumping. And if we get some, and if the Obama campaign campaigns hard, this state can go for Obama.
Yeah.
Because John McCain and that woman have nothing in common with a working West Virginian. How many West Virginians you know have 10 homes, Ed?
I know some that don't have one that's hardly fit to live in.
I mean, how many West Virginians own their own airplane like she does?
Airplane or airplanes? I heard she owned more than one.
Well, she's already apparently there's some hot water out there. She misused state funds to be flying around on the state plane to get back home for a revival at her floor rolling church.
Wait a minute, we're talking about two different.
No, I'm talking about the vice presidential nominee,
okay.
Not Cindy.
I thought
the vice presidential nominee owns a plane too.
Doing very well, isn't she?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Well,
but you know what? They're going to preach her from the pulpit. They're going to preach McCain from the pulpit, because by adding, and this is the importance of her nomination, by adding her to the ticket, that was nothing but a straight-up capitulation, Ed, to the right-wing evangelical fundamentalist movement, because now Dobson's behind him. And now all those creepy religion industrialists are behind him, because they think they've got their person, and they are licking their chops too.
Well,
because
they knew who to pick.
The instant
they can't dig up enough stuff on her to take her down.
Well, I don't know if any of it'll stick, even if they do dig, because she'll just say, "You're persecuting me."
Well, hell with her. A nobody is a nobody. I don't care whether the white, black, woman, child, or whatever, you know. I don't care what they are. A spade is a spade to me. And that's the way I call them. And I just get a sense that there's something so unreal about her that is pathetic.
I'm right there with you. Well, Ed, good talking to you. Let me put you back on hold, okay, brother?
Yeah, and keep pounding it, Bob, because maybe some of these ignorant West Virginians will, get a hook, line, and sinker.
Well, I think they've already fallen for that, but I'd like, well, all we can do is try, Ed. All we can do is try.
Yeah, well, I'll do it when I'm out talking.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Stand by.
Hi. Thanks for the time.
Uh-huh. It's our buddy Ed from here in Fayette County. And I tell you what, if you're on hold, please stay that way. We're going to take a little bit of a break and come right back. You're listening to America's listener-supported liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn. We'll be back.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Yes, you are, and you know the phone number if you want to jump in. Got a couple of lines blinking right now, a couple of lines open. If you want to join the conversation, toll free, 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. That's how that works. If you want to save us a nickel or a buck and you've got some sort of unlimited long-distance dialing plan, 304-658-3333 is the way you get to us. Not sure who used which lines, and it doesn't much really matter when you get right down to it. Just glad to have, glad to keep conversation rolling right here because we do it like nobody else does. And let's see. I believe we've got Albert here. Albert, what's up?
Hey, brother. How are you doing?
It's another Monday in paradise.
It certainly is. And boy, oh boy, I know that I was sitting there just letting you. I want to give you an update on Wisconsin, cannibalizing West Virginia and just how that. Just update you on how that's going, because, you know, we certainly don't need any West Virginia and Wisconsin. And just good news, basically there have been so many yard signs printed up against this thing that you can't even get them anymore. I mean, that's what the demand is, and now there's a back order for those yard signs. You know, like I went down there and I was going to go get another one, and I went down to where, you know, the Democratic convention, place where you get your Obama signs, and I went down there, and they told me it's all on back order. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. I'm like, yeah, there have been people coming in here nonstop asking for them, and basically everywhere you go. I know I updated that on with you before, but basically everywhere you go, there's a no coal ash dump. Keep Dairyland Power out of Vernon County and all that other stuff. So it's looking pretty good, Bob. It's and I understand, man, you sit there and you read that Huffington Post, but I'll just tell you one thing about what it sounds like to me, and it sounds like a lot of Democrats are starting to get a little deflated, and I think that's obviously the wrong way to go.
That's also the plan.
It is also the plan, and I mean, I tell you right now, I have never seen ever, and I don't go to Huffington a lot, but I have never seen so many right wingers on that site. And what does that tell you? Well, Huffington, I don't go to the Coes on principle, but Huffington is another one of those places where it's left-leaning, if you were to say anything. And I've never seen so many right-wingers on that right now. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Oh, well, I tried to tell people that they'd come out of the woodwork. At this point in time, after the, and this is the mind-blowing part, after that brilliant, stunning, really, really, world-changing speech that Barack Obama gave on the Thursday night of the convention at Mile High Stadium.
Yep.
You wouldn't know it ever happened.
Oh, exactly. Exactly.
And that was the plan. They had to, the Republicans did, they had to take all the starch and all the fire out of that.
Yep. Well, that's why they're palling, and, that's why they're going to keep palling away from the press.
Oh, no, she ain't doing nothing off the cuff. Oh, and by the way, Agnes pointed out something to me that I thought was interesting. The same creepy right winger who wrote all of George Bush's September the 11th speeches,
Mm-hmm. That's the guy that wrote her brilliant speech in Minneapolis that was written long before she was ever selected.
Is that From? Did From do that?
No, it's not From. I can't remember the guy's name offhand. But
probably Tucker. Tucker something.
No. No, this is a Matthew something, I think.
Ah.
But there was an article about him in The Atlantic not too long back, and he is one creepy, egomaniacal, little twisted, one of those.
Yep. Well, he's you know, and that's the thing. You know, Karl Rove and all these other guys that are kind of in the shadows, you know. Those are the mouthpieces and the mechanisms which, you know, that control the puppets. They're the, what do you call them, marionettes or whatever. They're the guys that pull those strings. So, you know, I mean, we're sitting here looking at it, and I'll tell you right now, though, I mean, it's, I know they think that, you know, they're on this onslaught now, but this is like the last rush. This is like, what's his face? You know, I went down, my brother, he took me to watch The Ultimate Fighting Barbarian he took me down there to watch that, and I was watching it. And Chuck Liddell is the big champion. I don't know if you're paying attention to this stuff, but whatever. It's the modern gladiator. Pretty soon they'll be killing each other, and we'll be like, yeah. But anyway,
Their heads.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, boo, put them, take them down. Anyway, you know, so now we're sitting there looking, and he got knocked out. Like, he got knocked into the eighth dimension. He got annihilated. And, you know, it's because that's how they are, right? Now, Chuck Liddell, I said to him, and I'm a little bit of a fighter, Bob, and, you know, I appreciate the art of it, and I appreciate when somebody does it correctly and does it well, and, you know, there's a certain art to it. There is. Yeah, you know, the barbarity, that kind of stuff, but I like it when there's a certain art to it, and then everybody hugs and kisses at the end, and that's a good thing. But the thing is the Republicans, I guess I'm going to call the Republicans Chuck Liddell in this aspect, where they've been, you know, Chuck Liddell relies on getting that one shot that totally knocks out people, okay? The thing is he's so cocky and so arrogant about that, and that's how he fights. And, you know, I think Barack Obama's smart enough, and I know this is a tough analogy for people who don't understand The Ultimate Fighting to kind of grab, but I think Barack's smart enough that he sits there and realizes other Republicans are going to start fighting. I mean, I actually, you know, and I know they didn't get a lot of press about it, but I think his, you know, comments on, you know, them ragging on him because he's a volunteer or community organizer, like that's like some sort of, the only thing I can hear in that, when I hear that, I hear like communist code.
No. Sissy stuff.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, but she, you know, Bob, she's got nothing. But she really does. They got nothing. But this is their last final onslaught. You know, they think, just as I was saying, you know, how dangerous it is, they're dangerous in a corner. You know, they're dangerous when they're down, because that's where they're used to being. They're used to being on their back with their legs spread in the air. You know, they're used to that. So they're dangerous in that aspect. But when they think we're there, that's, you know what I'm saying? If we could get to that point, then we're dangerous. And if Barack can play it smart, which I think he did, because you gotta know, Barack was kind of the victim. You know, he was playing the victim when Hillary was attacking him. Okay. And I think that victim.
Well, how do you characterize what he did on, the Falafel Boys program?
You know, actually, from what I saw of it, because you know I don't watch TV, I do. I only catch the cream de la creme on the internet. And you know, I sit there and Bill O'Reilly just, you know, when Bill O'Reilly goes away, I'm going to be a happy man. I don't care. I'm going to dance on that dude because I can't stand him. And I think in a sense, I think Barack held his own. I mean, granted he went through that whole thing, but he tried to. He's too nuanced and too smart to actually really do much of an impact, but I think he showed that he's got some grit and he went on Bill O'Reilly, and I think, you know, if you make Bill O'Reilly mad, you've won. Like, if you can get Bill O'Reilly to be visibly upset with you, you've just beat him. I mean, if you look at anybody who has literally put him through, you know, through the strainer, which is Phil Donahue, Jeremy Glick, even Geraldo Rivera, you know, stomped his guts out. And if you look at that, anytime he gets upset and starts, you know, pointing and do and starts kind of getting, you know, testy, he lost. And I think, you know, obviously I'm going to have to say, you know, I'm a little impartial, I'm biased, but I think Barack held his own, and I think he did quite well. I think he's just kind of panting a little bit, but he can't.
But that's coming from somebody who supports him. Is there a single brand new Barack Obama voter out of that thing? That's what concerns me.
Perhaps.
Why cast your pearls before swine?
True, but I'll tell you what, he's got more votes by doing that than he would if he never did it. I mean, if he would have never done it, oh, yeah, he's just a big puss, you know, oh, he can't handle it, he can't stand up to, you know, to Papa Bear, he can't do that. But he did, and he went on there, and now Bill O'Reilly can't say, oh, Barack Obama's afraid of us. You know, and that just takes one other tool out of their, you know, arsenal. And the more tools you take away from these guys, you know, all they really have in their tools are, you know, like a little dolly and a hammer, and that's all they got. So if you take their dolly away where they can't get out underneath you, all they're going to be able to do is throw hammers. And because all they got is hammers, well, eventually people are going to start noticing that the house is falling apart.
Yeah, but why can't O'Reilly say he's afraid of us? If he wasn't afraid of us, he'd come on again. And he'd come on live on the show, and we wouldn't pre-tape anything. Nah, he's still scared of us.
Well,
I mean, look at this. Look at this manufactured Oprah crap. Look at what NBC's done. You know, all it took at the Republican National Convention, Albert, was for a bunch of those the freakish little automatonic right wing palindrones to turn around and point their finger at the NBC booth and start chanting NBC. NBC, NBC, and the next thing you know, the head of NBC is peeing on himself and trying to get Keith Olbermann away from their election coverage, and they have.
Well, no, but let's be honest. Let's try to be biased here, or not be biased, whatever you want to say. You know, I mean, I like it. For me, it was wonderful. I like it. I like it. I like it when contempt is held for lying scum. I like that. That is entertaining to me. And it was actually funny. I was almost thinking about getting TV because the guy came to my door and knocked on.
Yeah, but they pulled Keith Olbermann. They didn't pull Pat Buchanan.
Well, they didn't pull him. He's still going to be there. He's just not going to be anchoring. So maybe if, you know, Mr. NC Rove's little.
No, I think it's actually getting worse if I understand this stuff correctly, Albert.
What do you mean?
Let's see.
David Gregory is going to be the guy there. Now, he's going to be the anchor, but Chris Matthews and Keith Olbermann are going to be still doing their comedy.
Yeah, they're not going to anchor, but the question remains whether or not they're going to be on the election night coverage at all.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. I hope we can get to that point where it's not going to need to matter. There's still plenty of time for this little boat, if you ask me, unless there's some sort of October surprise, a.k.a. terrorist attack in Iran, something horrible, they're using, literally, McCain's using this little stamina burst or this bonus coin or whatever you want to call it. He's using it now, and he's just preempting. I mean, he's going to be winded. He ain't going to be able to make it. He's not going to be able to maintain this pace because, you know, some people, everybody has a BS detector, and, you know, some people takes a little bit longer, and I'm telling you, I mean, you know, reality is, you know, one of those things that, yeah, it didn't really work for John Kerry, but he really didn't do anything. Thank God, if John Kerry would have just said something, if he would have just said something, like, I have no idea what these people are talking about, these people are crazy, like what Barack said regarding the whole community organizer. You know, if he would have said something, it would have probably been different. Yeah, granted,
but he did say something. He said things like, the Bush campaign has started using Orwellian tactics.
Now that goes over everyone's head. You know, I mean, we do understand something, and, you know, I mean, I know they like to say we hate this country, and we don't hate this country. We hate what these people have done to this country. But, you know, we got to realize that, man, there are a lot of people that can't find their own state on a globe.
Well, the stupid Palin woman declared that the bailout of Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae or Fannie Mac, whatever, was necessary because it had become too much of a burden to the taxpayers?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Put the Darth Vader mask on this woman or something because her brain's not functioning. The government set these companies up as private companies to reap the rewards of profit. The taxpayers only have to step in when they start stinking up the joint like they have.
Yep.
You know, it's what Paul Krugman said.
Mm-hmm.
It is socialized profit and free market loss.
Yes. Well,
or socialized loss. No, the rich get richer, and we pick up the tab when they screw everything up.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
the loss is socialized. That's what it is.
Yeah, well, naturally. But I think Barack's, Barack certainly has a better grasp of that. He also has a better explanation than that. And I think, you know, when you sit there, when you see them two standing side by side, when you see all this, you know, you're going to see the buyer's remorse really seriously, really come to bear fruit.
I saw a photograph the other day, Albert, and I inquired of our network official professional photography analyst, who explained it to me. Now, John McCain, okay, granted, we're talking about a photograph on the radio, so yeah,
okay.
I'm screwing up again. But it was back from that Values Summit. Remember that dummied up, phonied up, ginned up, faked up, rubed up thing with Rick Warren, you know, the porpoise-driven life? Yeah, something about dolphins, I'm not sure, some book. Sold a lot of them.
Penguins or something, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's this photograph. And it is shot, and David in South Carolina sent it to me, to point it out to me, and I had David in Tennessee analyze it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's shot from such an, now bear in mind, John McCain is 5 feet seven. John McCain is the same height as Dennis Kucinich. All right?
Interesting. That's interesting. That's really interesting. Okay, go ahead.
He's the same height as Hillary Clinton. But this photograph is shot of John McCain, Barack Obama, and Rick Warren, and they all look the same height.
Oh.
Now, when they get around to having a debate, they're going to be seated at a table. Now, what kind of a, you know, because America can't see that, you know, Barack Obama is of normal height and John McCain's a midget.
Well, but Bob.
That stuff matters.
Ammo.
No, I'm sorry. That stuff matters, Albert.
Kind of, but here's where I'm getting at. It does matter, but no matter, it don't matter if Barack Obama was laying down and he had cucumbers on his eyes and a mud mask on, he's still better looking than John McCain is. Now, I'm sure any family member of the, you know, the gay community would certainly agree to that. Now, you're sitting there looking at McCain's so desperate, Bob. He spent his ammo so much already. He sat there and used his POW. That's all he talks about is his POW.
But that's all he's got to say from now till November.
Yeah.
My friends, I was a POW.
Don't be shocked if when he's so desperate and he's spending his ammo so fast that don't be shocked when he comes out. Right before he's going to be so nervous, right before this debate, when he has to go out and appear and, you know, perform, you know, that he's going to bust into that container of, you know, just for men, and he's going to come out with a different hairdo. I mean, a different hair color. I mean, don't be shocked if McCain, you know, gets his hair dyed, you know, white.
Hair club.
Yeah, don't be shocked. That's how desperate he's getting.
Well, you know, Cindy already went and had the work done. I've seen the photos that prove it.
What the hell drugs is that woman on? I didn't pay attention to her when she was speaking live. I just saw a clip of it. What the hell was that? Who talks like that? Well, what kind of drugs do you got to be on to be that monotone and talk with such excitement? Oh, John Boy is
it's
my...
It's called Xanax.
Xanax or Clonopin or...
Ativan.
That's some tough stuff, boy. But, you know, Baba... I know. I just want people out there to kind of relax a little bit, take a deep breath. We have the endurance. We have the stamina. We're the ones that survived 8 years of Bush. We know where the hell it's been. We know where it's going. We know what McCain's about.
You know, there's like 49,000 new voters in Virginia. And I
voting for McCain.
And I ran across this, but I ran, you know, the Repiglicans are doing everything in their power to keep that from mattering, too, because, among other things, the Repiglicans have made sure that a letter went out threatening students.
Yeah, I heard that. And, you know, Bob, I got to say one thing about that. Something that people contact, that needs to be a crime that carries a 20-year minimum sentence.
Well, you know, these people are all for the death penalty. I'll give you your death penalty, right-wingers, but I want it expanded. I'm not one of these people that wants to expand it for, you know, purposes of rape or whatever. I want to expand it to political corruption and bribery.
Me too. I'm down.
Okay, because I'm mean.
Mm-hmm.
But this, you know, this story, here it is. The thing out of Virginia, and people should at least know that this is going on. The registrar of Montgomery County, Virginia, all right, that's where Montgomery County, Virginia is where Blacksburg is, and Blacksburg is where Virginia Tech is, and Virginia Tech has a lot of students who are not from Montgomery County.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And like I said, 40,000 new registrations in Virginia, and they ain't Republicans. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So this letter goes out from the registrar of Montgomery County, Virginia. Bear in mind, you know, this isn't even a state office holder. This is just some little right-wing county flack.
Yep.
And the registrar of the Montgomery County, Virginia said, "The Code of Virginia states that a student must declare a legal residence in order to register. A legal residence can be either a student's permanent address from home or their current college residence. By making Montgomery County your permanent residence, you have declared your independence from your parents and can no longer be claimed as a dependent on their income tax filings. Check with your tax professional. If you have a scholarship attached to your former residence, you could lose this funding. And if you change your registration to Montgomery County, Virginia, the Virginia Code requires you to change your driver's license and car registration to your present address within 30 days.
Mm.
Now, that's pretty strong medicine. If you register here and you vote here, you're going to lose your scholarship, boy.
That's really, no, that should be 20 years hard labor. Like, no doubt. Like, you doing something like that. I mean, I know that they put these letters out all the time that are lies. Is that even true? Is that really true?
Well, I know in West Virginia, because I experienced it, no, it's not. Because it doesn't, there are specific exceptions, and I can't imagine that Virginia doesn't have something like this. There are specific exceptions for students. At colleges.
Oh, they're so gross. They're such disgusting bastards. It's unbelievable. Yeah, like Wisconsin.
They're dirty.
That's disgusting. You don't get any lower than that. I just got to say, though, Wisconsin has a really nice voter registration. You can register to vote that day.
Wow.
That's nice, isn't it? You know, all you need to have is your driver's license, and I think to register, you need a driver's license and a piece of unopened mail. They think. Maybe not even the mail, but you need your driver's license, and that's it. And you could be a resident here for 6 months, and that's that. And you just go in there, and they say, yep, we can help you out. And, you know, you can choose between a paper ballot. I'm hoping, again, because the last few elections, they tried to get me to do the machine, and I'm just not doing the machine on principle. But, I do have that option. And I think more states need to adopt Wisconsin's voters' laws. Wisconsin's got a nice little voter setup. They make it easy. I've never gotten a letter saying if I voted, I'm going to have a IRS tax audit or anything scary like that, or they're going to check me for felons or give me a...
But see, these are the oldest tactics in the world, Albert. They've used this, you know, you might get... Okay. Things like, let's see, what was it in 2004? If you come and vote, you might get arrested if you've got any outstanding warrants. Yeah. And by the way, I guess there was some good fun to be had in Wisconsin this past weekend. It was the Fighting Bob Fest, wasn't it?
The what?
The Fighting Bob Fest, honoring Fighting Bob La Follette. La Follette.
Oh, probably. I'm sorry about that.
I got an email from somebody who mentioned you not by name but by location, saying he's living up in Eau Claire. He was going to take in the Fighting Bob Fest this weekend, and said, "I think one of your regular callers is from that area as well, and I always enjoy his calls. That part of the state's particularly beautiful, hilly, and rural, so both he and I can connect a bit with some of the environmental themes you talk about." That's our buddy Aaron.
Hey, Aaron, I'm sorry, buddy. But you know how Wisconsin is. I mean, if you're 30 minutes away in Wisconsin, you might as well be on the other side of the sun because I don't know why that is that way out here, but that's how it is. My friends and
well, that's you know, that's something that was pointed out to me. It used to be that if you asked somebody how far, well, it's about 30 miles. Or in some parts of the country, they say, well, that's about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, have you noticed what the latest measuring rod is? That's about $50 in gas from here.
Yeah, I can feel that too, boy. I mean, I'm starting to get, you know, it's scary. I'm starting to get used to, what are we, 3-something now? I'm starting to get used to that.
Yeah, I'm at 377.
Yeah, and I'm used to the $4 now, and I am, and I mean, I'm just used to it. It's like, you know, I just try to keep my tank full. I try not to drive. Saw an interesting statistic. They want me to buy more wind credits, and I very well may. But if they do come in to offer that to you, apparently for every unit of renewable wind credit or solar you purchase via, of course, it's an additional price from the power company, but for every unit you do, it's worth not driving your car for 6 months. It's like equivalent to that. So I think, you know, if that does come up, it's only, I think, $2 a credit or $3 a credit. And if you think about that, that's pretty damn good in a way.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
No way you're going to get some savings like that. But, yeah, and you know, I honestly actually keep away from most vests and stuff like that. They just irk me.
Well, Aaron mentioned that. Well, I've had other people mention the Fighting Bob Fest, too, and he said it would be a particularly good thing for me to try to find my way to at some point just to tell people about the horn or maybe tell them a little bit more about mountaintop removal, that kind of thing. And, you know, I think that's a sort of a direction that we'll go in the future, hopefully, with any luck at all.
Yeah.
Albert, I got a bunch of blinkies, but good talking to you, brother.
Always, brother.
All right, talk to you soon.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, and let's see here. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, Luke, what's up?
Well, you were talking a minute ago about the big giant head. Did you read the thing from Jay Bookman down in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution?
No.
The big giant head got upset.
Oh, yeah, he sicked his stalker patrol on Cynthia Tucker, didn't he?
Yeah, and she just essentially slapped him down. But if you want to go to Jay Bookman's thing at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, he's got a thing called Bill O'Reilly's FAW, F-A-U-X, Bravado. And essentially tells the story of it. They tried to do one of their ambush interviews, and she wouldn't let them turn it on her. She kept turning it back to Bill every time they tried to it. You know, they say, in your column, you were comparing Bristol Palin to Jamie Lynn Spears. In my column, I was criticizing Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, and I said you're a hypocrite.
What was it? If I said that, read that part. You're holding the column in your hand. Read where I said Bristol Palin was running around unsupervised. The O'Reilly guy says, you inferred it. Cynthia says, I inferred O'Reilly's a hypocrite. I'm
standing by that. God bless her.
So I'm wondering if, of course, I'm sure we'll see the video will come out, of course, once Bill's had a chance to recut it.
Yeah, the sanitized version.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, it's like this thing with Obama. You know, I'm sorry, I would not go eat. Well, one is you have to be on set with him because you ain't gonna be somewhere where he can push the red button. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're sitting there screaming at a TV camera. But I tell you what, some of this stuff, like I say, the story's getting out now. But amazingly enough, I don't see it on mainstream media. You know, the story like about the story about the jet. Amazingly enough, John McCain swears she sold it for a profit. Now, from what I understand, Governor Mulcahy bought it for $2.6 million. She ended up selling it for $2.1 million. Somebody better explain.
And she didn't sell it on eBay. She she couldn't get any takers, so she put it in the hands of an airplane broker who sold it at a loss. You know, the state of Alaska took a loss on this thing. And, you know, forgive me, Luke, but isn't this another case of the double standard? I mean, Hillary Clinton got savaged by the media, the for-profit media, over an issue of whether or not it was dangerous to go into Bosnia.
Well, I'll tell you another good one I just saw a minute ago. I was looking around on the web. Was, isn't it amazing how in, what was it, 98, or so, John McCain made that fun joke about Chelsea Clinton.
Yep.
You know, but amazingly enough, you know, the Janet Reno joke, we won't tell it, but isn't it amazing now all of a sudden, well, you can't say anything about the Palin children. That'd be unfair.
I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. It's okay if you're a Republican.
That's true. Well, I mean, that's the same thing. I mean, with this whole thing with the...
Well, I mean, look,
thing. It's like, isn't it amazing how with Jamie Lynn Spears, it's because of, as he says, her pinhead parents. But when you have poor old Bristol Palin in the exact same situation, well, that's a profiling courage for
her. Well, have you seen these photographs over at BartCop.com, Luke?
Which ones?
They were printed on the last issue, and they're reprinted again today of... A young woman who might very well be Bristol Palin.
Oh, that's the one apparently from the Brainiac. She's her father, her child.
Apparently the one with the liquor bottles.
Facebook? Yeah.
Giving a gang sign.
Yep. That's the one where they got that before they took down the site. Apparently, you know that he had his Facebook or whatever it was, you know, and had.
Yeah, the one where he said he was an effing redneck.
Yeah.
Well, I guess he's proved that he is. It is an effer, you know, but never mind.
But you know, I mean, it's one of those things that apparently some people got hold of all that stuff before they realized it and ripped down the site. Yeah, what is it? Bristol drunk illegally.
There's one with her standing next to a bottle of clear liquor, and there's another with her standing with her BFF.
A big old bottle of liquor.
Big old, well, the big old 1.5 liter jug of Captain Morgan's.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's one with the label turned away and one with the label turned toward.
Well, there's one with, I just switched over there. There's one with her boyfriend, and somebody else. And then there's one with her and this other girl, and they're both making the signs and holding onto the bottle.
Yep.
You know, and it's sort of like, well.
But that's okay. You know, the Bush bimbets. We're rolling on the floor with a beer bottle in one hand and either a cigarette or a joint in the other, with some other girl rolling around on them, and that was all right.
Of course, they had the Secret Service standing there saying, "You can't arrest them. I don't care if they are 16 drinking and driving. We can't let you arrest them." Because I mean, they were they were made people. They didn't have to follow the law. Oh, well, fine.
So it remains to be seen if any of this stuff will stick. And
it's like we said, here you have the Bridge to Nowhere story, you have the plane story, you have the oil company story, you have, you know, all
how about
stories.
How about
they came out and said all these great things about her, and none of them are turning out true.
Well, just how about the church? Personally,
her church makes Obama's look like a Sunday school. Her minister up there, he's right off his rocker.
Yeah, plumb crazy.
I mean, this guy was he's Pentecostal. Oh.
And see, you're in East Tennessee, so you know what that means.
Yes, indeed. You know what I mean? It's like say around here, there's rank of crazy, and they're up there.
And they're
behind the Southern Baptist, but hey.
Well, I'm still trying to figure out how it is that you get away with sitting in the pews, not getting up and walking out. And listening to a guy who says that, people who blow up pizza parlors in Tel Aviv are somehow God's judgment on Israel.
Well, I mean, that's the other thing is all this stuff where she's there, you know, saying the other thing was where she's sitting here saying the Iraqi war is a plan from God. It's like, I want to see that plan, please. Somebody show me that plan.
Because he's pretty incompetent if that's the case.
I was going to say, I'm an agnostic, but you know what? I like to think there's somebody up there maybe running the system, but I hope it apparently ain't a drunk.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, if God's running this war, then the universe is being run by AOL or something.
Well, it's one of those things. It's like, guys, you know, you tell me God's omnipotent. Well, then if that's the case, then he's having a bad day. Because he sure ain't on this.
Well, he's having a bad planet.
Well, you know, it's like they said No God one time. You know, the George Burns movie. They said you got to remember now, God today started sometime in the Middle Ages.
Yeah. We're in the middle of the cocktail hour right now.
Yeah. But you know, I mean, it's just one of these things where you're kind of sitting back here going, you know, with all these different stories, and all of them are turning out untrue. And I'm just sitting there going, when are we going to see one of the, well, I know what that is.
But the you know what the answer, Luke, you know what the answer is. The answer,
yeah.
Quit persecuting her. She's
for
being
her
persecuted for her beliefs.
Well, a minute ago, you were talking, though, about the thing about MSNBC, you know, the boys with the spines of silly putty. You know, just remember, like I say, these are the people that threw Donahue off the air when he was unfortunately right. How dare he be? And, you know, these are the people that put, you know, they're pushing David Gregory, the same David Gregory who says he loves listening to The Rush.
Yes, he did. Forgot about that part. All I could remember was him up on stage doing the MC Rove.
Oh. But like I say, I remember that one about him loving Rush. And I'm sitting there going, well, I see we've got another one that, like I say, because you've got a feeling he's the one they're grooming to put in for Meet the Press.
Oh, he's got Meet the Prestitutes written all over him.
You know what I mean? I figure, like I say, probably till the first of the year they'll let Brokaw do it. Then after the first of the year, I figure they'll name him.
I figure that busts open the first Sunday or second Sunday after the election.
I'm wondering if they'll wait till the inauguration, maybe. Sort of do it that whole week, you know, when they have the inauguration and all that celebration, whatever. But you never know. Like you say, it could just as easily be election time. And you know, isn't it amazing how everybody screams about that? But you know what? I ain't heard nobody saying a whole lot about Bill O'Reilly and Hannity being on during all this stuff. You know, wasn't it nice how they do their show? Then they go to Brent Hume afterwards, and he just takes over Greta's hour for the night. But no, they weren't hosting. They were just doing
coverage. Yeah, that right. Yeah, they're just doing their shows. There's nothing really going on. No.
Nothing here. Move along. These aren't the droids you want. Yeah.
I know. Hey, Luke, have yourself a good evening, all right, brother?
All right, you too. Bob.
Take care now. Bye. Luke's headed for home now, so drive careful. Indeed. Let's see. Let's keep it rolling. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Philip, what's going on?
Oh, not much. I want to tell you about what we found last night and what I did today just real quickly.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because it's like a comparison between the Assembly of God Sarah Palin Christian and, to me, what somebody that names themselves after Jesus should be doing. I don't know if you've got any beds of religious music here, but I'll try not to preach too much. But we found one of the feral kittens outdoors.
Okay.
Last night, and it was one of the kittens, I guess the runt of a litter or something, and it's about 3 months old, but it was well on its way to starving to death. And we took it in. We're caring for it all day today. In between the stuff that I was doing, even while I was recording my program, I had the thing near me and just petting it and comforting it and taking care of it. It finally passed away about an hour ago.
Oh, jeez.
But to me, you know, that's the kind of thing a real Christian person does, you know, somebody that names themselves after Jesus, not this freak Sarah Palin, and not these freaks James Dobson or Tony Perkins or Tim LaHaye. I was wondering if you heard that story or read the story by Max Blumenthal about the secret meeting of the Council for National Policy.
Oh, gosh, yeah. You sent me that story, and I was fascinated by it. I'd heard about this group before. You know, they don't tell where they're going to meet or when they're going to meet, but it's Tim LaHaye, it's Dobson, and that's what I, you know, I kept getting these emails about how that woman wasn't vetted. The hell she wasn't. She was vetted. She was vetted by the people that John McCain asked to find him a good fundamentalist running mate.
And I don't even know if it's John McCain that did it, because John McCain's first pick, yeah, out of his own mouth, was Lieberman. He wanted Lieberman. Then he was looking at Tom Ridge. But these guys weren't quite as nuts as Sarah Palin, so...
Well, that's the point. You know, if you're on that side of the aisle, if you're a pig licking and you want to be president, you will listen when James Dobson comes and, you know, puts the horse's head in your bed.
Yeah, because these people are freaks, and the problem is...
Well, no, they
now,
just, they don't, I mean, if it was too good to hope for, Philip, if the evangelicals and the snake handlers and tongue speakers and floor rollers and so forth had stayed home, there wouldn't have been anything close in this. But, you know, this one little piece of statistical information I got from this crosswalk outfit that shows that McCain has picked up another 7% of the evangelical vote. Well, he picked that, you know, this all gelled, this all solidified on Sarah Palin.
Oh, absolutely, because people, see, the problem is, I've got to disagree with Albert, your caller before the last one, about the thing with John McCain and Barack Obama sitting down at the debate and it not mattering what they look like. For people that look at TV and really don't get into the progressive radio, don't tune into Head On Radio, don't tune into my program, don't really go to the internet to read, they just judge things on the surface. And so with Sarah Palin, what I heard over the weekend from a bunch of people and neighbors was, okay, well, she's pretty, and she speaks real good. She had a lot of good things to say, and she seems smart and intelligent. And these people don't realize or think or know that, well, first of all, it's a prepared speech that she was reading, and that she was lying.
Right, and that's why you can't get her out in public, because she cannot be allowed to be asked questions, Philip, like, how long did it take you to write your speech? Jesus gave it to me. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or you know, because it's a lose-lose situation, because if she, well, I didn't really write it. Then the right-wingers say, A, you're a persecuting Jesus' anointed one on earth, because, you know, she's been anointed up in that weird-ass church. She was anointed.
Slayed in the spirit and anointed and everything else.
And sent out, commissioned and sent out into the world. So they say you're a persecuting her. Or the other thing that they do is they say, well, so what? All politicians have their speeches written for them. And then there's nobody there to counter that. That's a lie. All politicians don't have their speeches written for them. JFK, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, and a host of others, to one degree or another, write their own stuff.
And they speak off the cuff. And you know, obviously, when this woman speaks off the cuff, it's not a good idea, because there was another story out in L.A. Progressive where she was overheard by a waitress, Lucille, saying when Obama...
Yeah, called him Sambo.
Yeah, Sambo beat the bitch. Calling Eskimos, the Aboriginal people, the effing Eskimos.
What does she call them? Arctic Arabs. That's the other one.
Arctic Arabs. So this is something that the average TV viewer, the average person in America, doesn't see. And I got a lot of good excuses. I got like, well, I'm too busy, you know, like the lady next door. She has like a whole shitload of kids. So she doesn't really have time to sit down and delve into it like I have the time to do, or you do, or
right.
This is Head On Radio. So they get what's on TV. So today what I talked about was you've got to, when you talk to these people, first what they've got to understand is that the media is not liberal. It's not liberal at all. In fact, it goes along the party line of the Bush crime family and the corporatists. You have to tell them who owns NBC, who owns it, GE. Now, besides making light bulbs, what else does GE make and do?
Jet engines, bombs, anyone? Nuclear the reactors? Yeah.
So they make a good profit off of endless war. So they're not going to tell you the truth, and nobody else is as well. So this is where, you know, I would expect the Obama campaign to step up. I'm still really pissed off about the fact that both he and Biden came out and said, oh, it's off limits to talk about this Bristol Palin situation with the hypocrisy, with the absence.
But that just means they're not going to. That opens the door for the rest of us to do it, and I'm damn well going to, and so are you.
Well, yeah, I get it like crazy today. But the thing is, you know, if we had a Dennis Kucinich as our candidate now, there'd be an ad out right now with everything that he read probably in the articles of impeachment that he put out on the floor on, when was it, July 2008. And right after that, he'd have the quote of Palin saying, God, it's God's mission for us to go kill people in Iraq.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, you've got it.
You're, commercial, huh?
No, you're spot on. I mean, I'm glad you're not working for them, you know.
I doubt if I would work for them. The Obama campaign, maybe, but... So, you know, basically...
But the thing is, you and I can sit here and predict exactly what they'll do. And letter by letter, word by word, number by number, it is exactly what they'll do. Because we've learned to... They behave true to type.
Well, we just got to learn to come back at these people better, you know. Because... I don't know. The kid gloves have to come off. It's time to really start speaking the truth to these people.
It is. It is. And the question is, how do we do, you know, the question is in how to do that. You know, NBC, like I said, NBC was talked into ditching Keith Olbermann by nothing more than a bunch of thuggish repiglicans turning around and chanting NBC at them. And they wet their pants and did what they did. So
you have the proper information now.
You know who's gonna do the hardcore investigative reporting? But you see, they've got it. It really is. It's all inoculated, Philip, because all they got, whatever comes out about this crowd, whether it's about McCain or whether it's about Palin, whether it's about her ignorance of the mortgage crisis, or whether it's about his 10 mansions, the right wing just screams liberal media. And it's over. And
people buy that.
Yeah, it's over.
Who was it? Hermann Göring? Or one of Hitler's people? You know, you keep telling the lie over and over and over again, and sooner or later...
Yeah, it's the theory of the big lie. Sure, that's Goebbels, I believe.
And that's what we get from the Ministry of Propaganda. So, where I'm starting, my starting point for me, in my neighborhood, in my little community here in San Diego... is trying to educate my neighbors and the people I talk about exactly what the media is, break down that myth about liberal media, and then encourage them to go, look, listen to programs, tune into independent radio like Head On Radio, and don't believe everything you see on TV, because, yeah, okay, Sarah Palin was pretty, and she spoke real good, and she's nice. And
where's that? No, wait, just a... confounded minute. Maybe, you know, it's different strokes for different folks and everything. But from my perspective, Sarah Palin couldn't hold a lit match, let alone a candle, to my Agnes. I mean, no, that woman, no, she's dowdy. And she was.
I've seen a picture of Agnes. She is much cuter.
Well, she came on.
Palin looks like a grasshopper to me.
Well, she came on with that done up to Jesus hair. You know, that was code. That was code for the fundies. See, she's got the same kind of hair. She's got the beehive hairdo just like Eunice does when she's sitting in the front pew. You know, that's all designed. You know, Hillary Clinton wore pantsuits, so she wears a skirt. No flag pin, no problem. So, you know, it's all okay. It's all okay. And the question... Go ahead.
People are going to then, you know, if they notice this, because this is a good example, and this is why I'm going back to disagreeing with Albert, people will notice on the debate with Barack Obama and John McCain that difference. And if they were standing, they'd notice that difference, too. It's all how things look to people in America.
That's exact perception. Who was it? Some bright bulb said perception is reality. And John McCain cannot be seen among other things because all the history says that we vote for the tall guy.
Yeah, because for some reason he'll protect us better. But somebody short isn't good. I remember during the primaries, people actually said to me, well, Dennis Kucinich is too short looking. He's too little. He doesn't look like he could be a president. And this is what America votes for. Yeah, and this is what's worrying me about the election.
Yeah, well, it ought to. You know? It ought to.
Because America generally votes for the guy that looks like he should be president, and not somebody that doesn't look like it. One other thing I want to add right quick, because we got to run in a minute, is keep your eyes open, everybody, because there's another hurricane coming, Hurricane Ike, down there coming towards the Florida Keys.
Yeah, wow, was I wrong about Ike, but yeah.
The Bush crime family loves, they just love it when there's hurricanes and stuff like that. Any kind of national disaster or anything like that distracts us from what's going on. So watch for things to be slipped under the carpet this week with Bush. And particularly what Cheney is doing over in the Ukraine in that area over there, poking the stick at Russia, what's happening over in Iran. Just keep your eyes open, everybody, and I'll try to keep mine open as well. Because that's when they like to do their little dirty work, when we're not paying attention.
Exactly. Sunlight is the best disinfectant. Right, Philip?
Mm.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
How's your voice doing?
I'm getting some better. I've got some antibiotics going.
Good.
It's just this on-again, off-again ear infection, and made it down into my throat, and, you know. But I'll be okay.
It just needs to stop that.
I need a week at the beach with a coconut shell in my hand with a little paper umbrella in the top. That'd do it.
Well, you and Agnes, come on down to San Diego. We have beach and the weather for it here.
I hear it's a pretty place.
Yeah, it's nice. We pay for the weather though. No rain.
Oh yeah.
Anyhow, take care, and I'll talk to you later.
All right, take care, Philip. Bye now.
All righty.
That's our buddy Philip Rockwell. And, listen, I'm not trying to be Dr. Downer or anything, but you just have to understand, now that they're mobilized, the evangelicals have to be defeated. Because they've got enough to put McCain over the top. Unless we bust our asses against a host of voting machine fraud, voter intimidation efforts like that crap in Virginia. You know, and Philip mentions Dick Cheney, Richard B. Dick, big time Dick Cheney. He's in Rome for talks with Italian leaders. He was asked about the convention that he curiously stayed as far as he could get away from. And he said, he watched it on TV. I thought her appearance at the convention was superb, superb. I watched that with great interest. I loved some of her lines. Creepy, 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 creepy. So there's a lot more conversating to do if you want to. You can jump in, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. Or that's toll free. If you want to do it on your nickel, 304-658-3333. Either way works just dandy. Chime right in. Email rolls into bob@headonradio.com. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with the beginning of hour number 3. You're listening to America's listener-supported liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn.
Hard-headed woman, one who'll take me for myself. And if I find my hard-headed woman, I won't need nobody else. No, no, no. I'm looking for a hard-headed woman, headed woman. One who'll make me do my best. And And if I find my hard-headed woman, I know the rest of my life will be blessed. Yes, 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 yes. I know a lot of fancy dancers, people who can glide you on a floor. Oh, oh. They move so smooth but have no answer. Oh, 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 oh. But when you ask what you come here for, I know why.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Okay, let's start out with a couple of emails. First from our pal Cindy in regard to the voter intimidation in Montgomery County, Virginia. She says, I don't think that's legal, Bob. I think the qualifiers for a national election are national. 18 years old is the qualifier. My advice to Virginia students, register, vote. Go to court after the election. Win back your rights. Well, that's about half and half. You do have to be, by virtue of constitutional amendment, 18 years old to cast a vote in this country. The voting age was, in other words, federalized.
apart from the supposed criminalization of vote disenfranchisement based upon race mostly, nothing else is federalized. Every individual state has its own individual laws. And they vary from state to state. It is something that probably should be federalized, along with getting along with a constitutional amendment to get rid of the Electoral College. You know, somebody looked at me the other day and says, you know, what does it matter if I vote? My vote doesn't count. And if they were talking about the fact that if they were talking in terms of, you know, what the electric machines do, what the voter suppression machines, how they were, I would have been forced to agree. But this was just a generally, this was just general, you know, it doesn't matter what I do. And that is not true. Remember, as far as the Supreme Court was concerned, and they were happy about it, you and I weren't, 574 idiots in Florida have subjected the United States to 8 years of pain, anguish, and torment. 574 idiots in Florida have helped people to not have homes via the mortgage foreclosure crisis. 574 idiots in Florida voting for Bush. 574 idiots in Florida made at least 1,300 bodies bob in the water when the levees broke in New Orleans and when Katrina came ashore on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. You think one vote doesn't count? Think again. 574 people in Florida are, for the most part, responsible for the shattering of over 4,000 American families in stupid, needless wars and occupations. 574 idiots in Florida are responsible for the fact that sabers are being rattled and guns are being drawn against a country that doesn't even have any nuclear weapons, namely Iran. 574 idiots in Florida are mostly responsible for a whole lot of people who still don't have health care. 574 idiots in Florida are still largely responsible for the assault on our civil liberties. 574 idiots in Florida are responsible for the fact that habeas corpus was taken out behind the building and beaten to death. 574 idiots in Florida are responsible for, Lord, pick one. You know, or Z, all of the above. Think your vote doesn't count? It doesn't count if you don't go vote. That's right. Apart from that, though, no. No. No, I won't tolerate. I won't tolerate that kind of talk. It doesn't matter. It matters. It matters to me. It matters to you. It matters to all of us. It matters to little babies. It matters to children grown and less than grown. It matters to thousands and thousands of members of our military who are currently stuck in the meat grinder in Iraq, whom George Bush said would, by God, stay there through the end of the year. Yeah, it matters. It matters a boatload. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, Gary?
Not much. I got some other people you can add to that list.
Okay.
Some of our progressive radio hosts. You know, kind of, I saw, I remember when Al Gore was, I remember that lecture pretty clearly. I remember, because I listened to a lot of radio back then, and I heard some of the same things by Al Gore that we're hearing now about somebody, you know, our candidate right now. It's like, oh, you know, you remember.
Yeah, that's the only thing they know how to recycle is hate.
Well, no, but I'm saying, but I'm talking about within our own party, that some of the Democrats were, like, complaining about Al Gore moving to the center and some of the stuff that he was doing. Meanwhile, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, you know, now these same people on these, some of these shows, these hosts, are like, oh, you know, Al Gore would have been great. They see the mistake he made. Now I still, you know, and I've been talking about this the last couple of weeks. You know, I've been on this rant about this. You know, and even though I know some of them pulling back now, they're starting to realize, you know, they spent the last, August, probably most of August, talking about Pfizer and Nancy Pelosi and impeachment. Those are credible issues. But at this point right now, you know, it should not, we should worry about that once our candidate gets in. How many voters have they potentially turned off of independents who were listening to them? What are going on and on about our candidate when we should have been focusing on John McCain? And that's what, you know, my big beef has been, because I've seen this play out before. Democrats, they just will not unite right before an election. It's like, I don't know what's wrong with them. It's like now they're kind of, oh, we're down by 2 points in polls.
What's wrong with us, Gary, is the same thing that was made manifest in the fact that we're not going to be having this conference in Philadelphia at the end of this month. We've got too many people who are otherwise Democrats who want to make sure that their issue is number one on the to-do list.
Whether it's every group,
whether it's labor or human rights people, or voting integrity people, you know, all of these disparate groups, and, you know, it's like a Venn diagram, you know. There's a lot of overlap in these things, but everybody wants to be first. And the Republicans don't do that.
Well, I think part of it because, I mean, let's you know, break it down. I hate, you know, I don't like necessarily break everything down to race. But we look at the Republicans. They're branding on white pride and wealth, mainly a little bit more materialism, because a lot of people who are poor look at the Republicans and say, well, they know about business, they know about money, and I aspire to be wealthy. So therefore, they can carry that moniker with pride. I'm a Republican, even though they're being lied to out the wazoo. The Democrats, it's a more broad coalition. It doesn't necessarily stand for materialism. It doesn't necessarily stand for the white race, so to speak. You know what I mean? So we don't necessarily wear Democratic thing on our sleeve, and we'll put all our other issues aside. As Republicans, we'll just throw it because they have some overarching theme that's very powerful and compelling.
Well, isn't the phrase for them, Gary, movement Republicans? You know what I'm, you've heard that, I'm sure.
Yeah, a little bit.
They are there for the movement. They're going to advance the whole thing and sort out the details later. We still haven't figured that out, and it amazes me that we haven't.
I'm telling you, I was just a progressive, but I'm not going to say any name because I don't like to call people out. But he goes on and starts, and he says, you know, he's in a rage, and he just goes off, and he says, you know, it's a couple weeks ago, well, Barack Obama is not even a Democrat. Now, of course, he doesn't pull back off of that, but I'm like, that's just irresponsible in this type of election to say that kind of thing, you know, and it's just like, you know, how many people, I mean, I was going to listen to the callers, people called in. They were talking about Nader. Well, you know, Nader has our agenda, and they were actually talking about it, you know, and maybe Barack should win because he's, you know, Bush is leaving such a mess. I mean, it was going through all this.
Look, you know, where Nader's concerned, Gary, I love his issues. I despise the man.
Yeah, and I don't even have a problem with the man. He's just like, he's not serious. He hasn't built a coalition. I mean, a community. I mean, he had 4 years. Barack built something out of nothing.
Well, what drives me nuts out of that is that there's a whole lot of people out there gone off following Nader or whatever, or, you know, maybe want to go vote for Cynthia McKinney and they think they're voting their conscience, when in fact, you know, they're not building a third party. The third party's not going to come. The minute the third party arrives, it will be the second party, and nobody seems to understand that. And we need the creative energy of these really, really dedicated people inside the Democratic Party taking it back to its FDR roots.
Right. There you go.
Rather, you know, they complain that the Democratic Party's become so corporatized. Oh, it's just as corporatized as the Republicans. Well, I disagree with that by a matter of degrees. On the other hand, however, who let that happen? Who gave up the field? Who left the fight? The only way that the Democratic Party could be corporatized is if the grassrootsers wandered off somewhere else.
Well, see, when Dean came in, I mean, and I think it is moving more toward grassroots, and I think that's why Obama was able to, you know, beat Hillary, because when he came in, you know, with the 50 streets, that's when I was kind of, you know, helped working with DNC. It's like they came in with the 50 state strategy.
Right.
My only problem was that with them at that time, like I said before, they were fighting, you know, Democratic Leadership Council, you know, DNC, and that internal fight, and, you know, they would have won had not Barack Obama came along. The Democrats would have been totally corporate now. But the fact that he came along and built an organization and said, hey, no, you can actually function and win an election with this. So now the Democratic Party is actually moving to the area that all these progressive, you know, radio show hosts been talking about. But yet now they stop and want to pick over one little two issues. Not saying they're not small issues. I mean, Bush should be impeached and all this other stuff. But if they have to look at the broader perspective, once we get in, Barack Obama has no political capital right now. I don't care what his organization.
Well, not only that, he also doesn't have an election sewed up. And
he has no political capital, so you can't sit here and expect him to be able to move and shift and do some of the things that people like John McCain can, George Bush, and the Republican Party, because they had the power for the left. And even if people don't think about it, McCain still has a lot of political capital being aligned with Bush because, like you just said, the fundies and all these other people who he's been in power, and that's what people are looking at. Well, they've been in power, and, you know, John McCain has more political capital than I think people really give him credit for and understanding right now because of Bush and his Carverovian strategy. They got everything wired up and booked up. McCain people know about it, and that stuff is powerful. They know what election is probably going to be rigged. You know what I'm saying? They know what's going on. We're coming in new to this, and we're trying to, like, infiltrate. But they're holding the base down, and they got their, you know, they got their weapons out. I mean, come on. They're not.
Well, for me, it's easy. There are two choices in this election, Gary. I mean, yeah, there's other people. I guess you could go off and vote for Bob Barr or Cynthia McKinney, for whom I have significant respect. You know, she had guts when a lot of Democrats didn't. And that's why she opted out. But there are only two people one of two people is going to wind up president of the United States. Barack Obama or John McCain.
That's right.
Now, if a lot of highly pissed off, highly motivated, libertarian-leaning, right-wing Republicans go vote for Bob Barr, that obviously operates to Barack Obama's benefit. If, however, a bunch of highly motivated and frankly principled people go off and vote for Cynthia McKinney, that obviously operates to the benefit of John McCain. It just does. You can make the argument that if you're in a state that wouldn't go for John McCain if hell froze over, then yeah, you can have one. You can go cast one of those vanity votes, and you can go vote for Cynthia McKinney or Bob Barr or whatever. But in a hotly contested state, in a Florida, in Ohio, a Pennsylvania. Goodness gracious, how could you? Mercy. I mean, because you've got a better, you know, that's the thing. If you're behind these real progressive values that are espoused by the third party left, you've got a lot more likelihood of seeing them to fruition in an Obama administration, or at least beginning the dialogue that gets them there. You know, there's a story out there today, Gary, lo and behold, that the Democrats in Congress have gone ahead and just said to hell with it and scrapped any plans that they might have had to have another vote on expanding CHIPS, you know, Children's Health Insurance Program. And that way, the Republicans don't have to deal with a thorny issue just a few weeks before the election. You know, and I despise that kind. And, you know, they knew that Bush would veto it anyway. But, you know, let's not make him do that. You know, I hate that weaseless behavior.
Well, they're doing things right now, like I said, that will help them actually lose the election, because they think confrontation breeds talking points for the Republicans and let them allow. But you have to take control of the microphone. I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. You go on stage and you say, you know, you're talking to, like, get the hell off the microphone. You snatch it away from the person. Or you go bring your own microphone that's louder than theirs.
Well, see, I mean, in this chip story, S-chips, it just drives me crazy, Gary, because, you know, there's Rahm Emanuel.
They call it something else besides S-chip. Call it the child's, say child, and have that.
Children's health insurance, sure.
Democrats are just so stupid. They come up with a dumb.
But Rahm Emanuel, this just drives me nuts. This is the quote from the story, and the story itself is from the New York Times. Rahm Emanuel came out and said, and this is a quote, "We're not going to change any votes on the children's health insurance bill. We still don't have enough to override a veto. Those who oppose this bill can face the voters and explain why they believe 10 million kids should not get health coverage." Yeah, because they're going to do that. They're going to go home and they're going to say, that Barack Obama, he won't wear no flag pin, and I don't think he's as American as you and me. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. That's what they're going to do. Why not make these punks stand up and vote to screw children again? No, we're going to these Republicans are going to have to go to their room and they're not going to have any dessert. I mean, that's what that is.
What they're trying to do, I think, even though energy is going to be like a main issue, I mean, ultimately it's still going to be the economy. I think what they're thinking, is, which may be a right calculation, wrong calculation, is that they want the economy to be the main issue. I mean, that's all Barack is talking about now, Biden is talking about, and you know, the bailout of Fannie Mae and all this other kind of stuff. They really just want that to be the focal point, because reality of the fact is, if you listen to McCain and all the talk, McCain is not talking about anything about economy or health care. They're not even.
Well, he can't.
But he's not even addressing. He's not even lying about it. He's with health care. He keeps saying, we want to, you know, he's kind of coasting a certain way, but he said, we want you to make the decision. You know, that this.
Yeah, and that's just made up BS. I mean, he sits in his policy meetings with his advisors, and they say, well, you know, Senator McCain, we need to say a little something about the economy. And he sticks his fingers in the air and says, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. Because he can't lie about it, he can't tell the truth about it, he can't say anything about it, because he'll get busted with another ad where he says, well, you know, I really don't know anything about the economy. But the other thing is, this is like this business with this children's health insurance, this expansion bill, the other thing about that is the Democrats are operating from a position of fear again, Gary. You know, it makes me crazy, because they're scared, they are scared, that if they push this thing through, they'll create a debate and they will lose the media wars, because the right-wingers will be out there screaming, well, this is going to let some pregnant Mexican have free health care. And, you know, nothing speaks to an independent or a right-wing motive, right-wing or libertarian voter like hating on some immigrants.
I think Democrats, particularly Barack Obama, I know he's being, nice about this, but I would say in the next week or two, I would watch the coverage closely if I was there at the campaign, and I would advise them that they have to start coming out to the media and say, look, why aren't you doing your job? And start saying, that's why we got into Iraq, because you didn't do your job. But, I mean, I know that you got to play that carefully. But this whole thing of Sarah Palin not even being interviewed, stuff like this, I mean, it's got to be, somebody got to call these people out. I mean, the media can really turn this election if they're not careful. You know, they got to start doing their damn job. I mean, this is getting.
Well, I think the media want to turn this election. Look who owns the media.
That's why you got to call them out on it.
Well, I agree.
I already know that they're not going to change. I mean, they're obviously going to favor the Republican agenda, because they're scared the hell out of what Barack, you know, been saying about, and Biden, and, you know, talking about impeaching Bush and all this other kind of crap. He's getting scared. So, and they're not comfortable with Barack in terms of some of his plans. Obviously, the trade issue and everything else. I mean, you know, about Walmart going around threatening their employees about, you know, don't vote for Barack and all that kind of stuff. This year, so there's going to be a corporate takedown. They're going to take him out, try to take him out. And that's why he got to push back. He can't sit there and think that they're going to be fair. Because it ain't the host that run the show; it's the guys behind the scenes.
Now, when I think about the mental energy that went into planning, for instance, for a sit down with Bill O'Reilly, you know, I think of all these things, Gary, in terms of finite resources. There was a lot of finite brain resources that went into planning for that, when maybe it should have been used in planning for the next takedown on John McPale or whatever. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I know what you mean. Got to prepare for his interview when you could have been preparing, you know, loading up your missiles to launch at John McCain. And I also think he did that well in that interview. I think he held his own, but he has a, you know, if I was coaching him, I would tell him stop looking down. He was looking down a lot in that interview. Really shouldn't do that when you're talking.
I saw that thing where his shoulders were hunched up, and, you know, maybe we're just getting a little bit too much into detail, but it looked very defensive. It looked very, yeah, I think I know what you're saying. Gary, I got to...
He didn't reach forward. He was lunging a little bit forward, so that's something you do want to do. But it's like he was looking down too much.
Yeah, I understand.
That was the problem.
Well, Gary, thank you very much, and we will talk soon, I hope.
All right.
All right. Later. And we will roll onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. It's Preston.
Hey, Preston. What's up?
Oh, not a lot. I heard the criticisms of Nader, and I understand and agree with a lot of them. But I just wanted to add a few things in his defense.
Okay.
And in defense of the larger movement that was taking place in 2000. I think too often we focus on that one individual, but you know what was going on there involved tens, hundreds of thousands of other people, and they accomplished a lot. It's always suggested that you know there's no party building going on, but I'm looking at an article from Yes Magazine, 2001, the spring. New Green Party locals founded that year, 450. New Green Campus Organizations, 900. Student Volunteers, 25,000. House Parties, 600. Greens Running for Office, 266.
And Preston, I'm all in favor of those people running for mayor, city council, the county commission, state legislature, whatever. But because that's where the party building takes place.
Yep. And many were led to it, though, by what Nader was doing.
What I can't remember for the life of me. Did you read the David Sirota book, Uprising?
I read parts of it.
Okay, there's a chapter in there, and I can't remember the specific term, but it has to do with elections and third parties.
Yep.
And it makes a boatload of sense the way it's laid out. If the electoral struggle in the given or structure in the given state is conducive to it.
Yep.
My argument, however, though, is that a lot of these issues that should be no-brainers for the Democratic Party and anybody who cares about them have been marginalized by the exodus of people of good conscience from the party.
It's been a partial exodus. I'll give you that much for sure.
There's no doubt. I'm voting for the Mountain Party candidate for governor here.
Yeah, but the Dems still have 50 million people who vote for them who somehow, for whatever reasons, you know, aren't able to get issues like, you know, genetically modified food, you know, in the platform discussed, you know, issues like ending the war in Afghanistan and giving them reparations. In fact, we get quite the opposite.
We're going to ratchet up the war. You know, George announced that he's going to send another Marine Expeditionary Force or a battalion or whatever to Afghanistan sometime in the near future.
Yeah.
That's not going forward. That's going backwards.
Yeah.
Because at some point you have to figure out that what's going on. And you know, they can talk about their surge and their the Anbar existentialism or whatever it is they're calling it. They can talk about that stuff all day long. But the fact of the matter is, it don't work.
And someone can tell Obama to say, you know, he's going to chase Osama to his cave or whatever, and his lieutenants. When it's, you know, Rumsfeld and his lieutenants that I'm much more worried about. You know, he just killed another 20 people yesterday with some drone.
No, I know. And guess what? This time, you know, they're getting busted on. Granted, the embedded journalists can't take any footage, and the embedded journalists can't take any photographs. But the expansion of things like cell phones make it a lot harder for people to hide their tracks on this. And so photographs have come out that are at direct odds with the official American story.
Yeah, yeah. There are also some interesting media efforts to get video cameras to people under assault from state terrorism. And, you know, a lot of interesting grassroots media work going on. again, that I think,
Well, you know, we're gonna be trying to do something at least slightly similar to that here on October the 5th when we have our mountain blessing again. The last time I was a total idiot and I thought, well, you know, it's just nice. It was nice up there. I'm not going to lug all this equipment with me. Well, this time through, I'm lugging, because the last time the coal company sent their slaves, you know, their employees, sent their slaves up to try to, and they did. They succeeded in intimidating us until the service was ended with their screaming and their shouting and their threatening. So this time through, we'll shoot some video, we'll record audio, we'll take still pictures, we'll have it all, and it'll all be recorded, and people can see how these people, how these coal company indentured servants behave. And that's critically important. You know, you mentioned genetically modified food or Afghanistan, all of that. The problem, Preston, is that we can't get it onto the Democratic Party platform because we don't have anybody in there working that issue for whom that issue means a lot.
50 million people have a hard time that there aren't people inside and outside the party pressuring for it and just being ignored. I mean, these stores like Whole Foods and Wild Oats, they have petitions and books regarding this stuff, and they have products, GMO-free. So there's awareness of it. There's been activism on it, and it's...
Having finally been in a Wild Oats, for the first time in my life,
mm-hmm.
and this is, this isn't me trying to naysay what they're doing. It's just an observation of real life. I don't know anybody around here in my community. I mean, I'm sure there are a few, but there's nobody that I know. I don't know anybody in my community who could afford to feed their family by going to Wild Oats or Whole Foods.
Yeah, that's a big issue for sure.
And if I, just as an example, I was across the river in Kroger earlier. I go to Kroger because it's a union shop, as opposed to Wally World. And I went in there to get baby formula for the little ones here. And there was an organic baby formula there, but we have to get the soy. And of all the things not to have organic, there was no organic soy baby formula mix. And even if there was, the price of the can was $8 more. And while you and I recognize the value in that $8, and what you're doing for the baby by not, like the lipids and stuff in this, it comes from algae, for God's sakes, and they still get to call it natural. But anyway, you and I understand the value to doing organic on a level like that. But for somebody who's got to buy, three cans of this stuff a week at $20 a can versus $10 a can, guess what they're buying?
Oh, definitely. You're right. But still, the point I was driving at was that there are regular Democrats who know about this issue, but, it's just not being pushed there. Interestingly, one of the organized efforts to destroy Nader and to undercut his efforts in 2004 was something called the Ballot Project. And it was funded initially by a former Monsanto CEO and genetic farming proponent, Robert Shapiro, putting tens of thousands of dollars in the effort to, get Nader off of all these ballots and, sue him out of the election. I mean, that in and of itself, if we are Democrats, if we are going to call ourselves Democrats, I don't care what you feel about Nader. We should be disgusted by how he was attacked like that.
That is disgusting.
Voters were spat upon.
I rely on voters to make the ultimate choice as to who they're going to vote for, and that's why I say what I said. I admire the issues he brings to the fore. I personally think that it's time for him to pass the torch. There are the other issues about what's in his stock portfolio.
Yeah, and it's definitely getting around that time where he's going to pass the torch, or he'll just drop the torch. He'll die.
And I don't want the torch dropped.
The next few years. But you know what? with all this smear campaign that's gone on against him for 8 years, his torch, people are going to walk away from it. They're not going to read his books. They're not going to listen to his lectures. They won't be able to hear his words at this point so many times because it's just, bleh, Nader, he caused Gore the election. And these are the same people who...
Well, like I said, it was as far as I... It was
how it was stolen at the same time.
It was 574... Well, it was stolen to the point that it was possible to... it was rigged to the point that it could be gotten into the courts. But at the end of the day, by the court's count, and not by the real honest-to-goodness count that later came out but nobody paid attention to, 574 idiots in Florida are responsible for all the rotten crap that's happened in the last 8 years.
Actually, way more people than that. There are like 25,000 Democrats in Florida who voted for Bush.
There are those people.
There were several hundred people who voted for the socialist candidate. I think it's not what happened, but how what happened was framed for us. You know, not only was
Nader was the most public, visible face.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. And at the same time that we talk about the issues that he raises, Preston, and they are that, and I want to reiterate that, you know, I'm with him on probably 98% of the issues that he raises. But he did it in such a way that it becomes very, very frustrating, and I'm surprised that a man who is as smart as he is would raise them in the manner that he did. For instance, this business about saying that there was no difference between Al Gore and George Bush, and we're hearing the same song about Barack Obama and John McCain. Well, there is a difference. It's a palpable difference. It's a verifiable. It's visible. I mean, it's. And then, but when you start out that way, you put a lot of people off, and they never hear the rest of the message that is viable and is valid.
Yeah, and although I think he said much more than that. I mean, he would use a remark about Tweedledee and Tweedledum, a comment that goes back decades and other third-party efforts. And he'd elaborate on it, and he'd spell out a lot of things and how community citizen activist groups are being shut out of all kinds of meetings where in the past they could get inside. And that was the doing of both parties.
Well, yeah,
although
a classic.
He's not so ignorant, though, that he can't see some differences, and he would concede those. In fact, he could talk about them much more, you know, in depth than most people could.
But, you know, the rules of primacy and recency obtain just about across the board, and that's what people heard. And that's what the people who are still angry heard, that there's not a difference.
Yeah.
When the last 8 years proved that there was a profound difference.
You know, another thing people heard over and over and over again was that how much money he was allegedly getting from the right wing. But, you know, there are actual numbers on that, and it's about 4% of his funds came from right wing donors. Kerry actually received more from what could be called right wing sources. But just leave it at, he's in bed with right-wing Republicans. Ooh! And no one bothers to look into the reality. And no one bothers to think about how they are destroying this guy's legacy. And looking at the public relations firm and the corporate lawyers that were behind so much of this.
Let's address the larger question, if you don't mind, Preston.
Okay.
Why is it that he can't work within, I mean, you know, I recognize a two-party system as a function of political reality as it exists on the ground based on a great deal of American history.
Uh-huh.
You know, people like to say that Abraham Lincoln was a third-party candidate. Not really, because by then the Democrats were at war with themselves, and the Republicans had already co-opted what was left of the old Whigs, as well as co-opting some of the smaller, you know, fourth, fifth, and sixth parties, the abolitionist parties that were at work primarily in New England and the upper Midwest. So that, you know, that doesn't really, really count. Why is it that with all these issues that are so, should be so easily cognizable to most of the people, I'm talking about voters, not members of Congress or anything like that, because the corruption there is just too thick to even describe right now. But most of the people who describe themselves as Democratic voters would say yes to, like I said, about 98-99% of Ralph Nader's platform.
Yeah. And why, I don't know why. I've wondered why he doesn't do like Kucinich did and, you know, run as a Democrat and take part in those forums. I wonder why he doesn't, say, run for a senator in, I think it's Connecticut where he lives. Although I have heard him ask that and during lectures or something like that, maybe an interview on community radio where he actually gets to speak. And, you know, I don't remember the specifics, but it was a reasonable answer. You know, you could disagree or not. But he had a certain strategy in mind. And again, I think part of it was just really a break, something very new with, you know, 10-point platform that they put out that was very different from, you know, what the Democrats were offering. You know, and in some ways, it continues. I think the legacy of his work continues. Just today, I was listening to NPR, and they interviewed Thomas Friedman, who I can't stand his World is Flat stuff. But his newest book, it's something like Hot, Flat, and Crowded, the Green Revolution that this country needs. The Green Revolution.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what Nader was saying 10 years ago, and it's nice to see someone mainstream.
And it was what Carter was saying 30 years ago.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, there's a million psychological reasons that would probably fill up a 500-page book for why people don't want to leave the party. You know, it's what mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and great-great-great multi-great yada 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 were part of. It's a structure that was. Or there are those who have a vested interest in remaining that way. You know, I'm pretty sure that by virtue of me saying that I'm leaving a bunch of elections blank this year and that I'm actively going to cast a vote for Jesse Johnson, even though I remain a registered Democrat, I'm persona non grata now. Okay? You know, I used to go and shake hands and yada, yada, yada. But I'm and because of my mountaintop removal stance, I'm persona non grata. You were talking about groups being ignored. You know, I can verify that, Preston, because the West Virginia Young Democrats had their convention this past summer, and they authored they authored a plank that was expressly against mountaintop removal in no uncertain terms. And of course, they get a seat at the table with the state Democratic Executive Committee, and they were promptly, "Oh, you kids, shut up!"
Right, right.
You know,
yep.
And we would have blown up more mountains if it hadn't been for you meddling kids. So that does happen. There's no getting around it. Will it change over time? Maybe. You know. I'm convinced that these people of good conscience are going about it the wrong way.
Yeah. I've had friends here in Colorado run for governor as a Green, and you know I wondered sometimes if it was the most effective use, you know, of their time, and the same concerns would come up. You know, are you going to pull votes from, you know, the Democrat running from governor, and there's someone doing it at the Senate level right now, and there's going to be a close race between the Democrat Udall and the Republican Schaefer.
Again, some of that, as I was explaining earlier in the program, each state does, in fact, really, really honest to goodness, control its own elections. And by virtue of that, each state controls how hard a party has to work to get on the ballot. So that you wind up with this counterproductive system. For instance, in West Virginia, hard enough to get on the ballot in the first place. It's one of the hardest places in the country to get on the ballot. But
that's another huge issue.
Yeah, the Mountain Party is on the ballot. And as long as the Mountain Party gets 1% of the votes for governor every year, then people can continue to run for state legislator or county commissioner or whatever on the Mountain Party ticket. But no matter how many people, even if we win elections at House of Delegates, state senate, county commission, whatever, even if people win elections as a green candidate, they still don't, you know, the next time through, they might not be able to be on the ballot unless the gubernatorial candidate continues to get that 1%. Now, how in the world is that fair?
Yeah, yeah. I remember one of the goals of the Green campaign in 2000 was to get 5%. And at 5%, not only would they get kind of a stamp of legitimacy, but they would have gotten some matching public funding. And I can't help but wonder. I mean, Nader did receive more than 5% of the vote in 11 states and in District of Columbia, and close to that in another 8 states. And I wonder if there weren't some votes disappeared down the old rabbit hole to make sure that he didn't receive the 5%. It just was so perfect for the people who have been gunning for him for 4 decades, ever since he busted GM. They harassed him, surveilled him, followed him. He took him to court for it, and he won a bunch of money. And with that money, he started Public Citizen, which continues to do great work. And that's another issue with the attack on him, is that it's hurt Public Citizen, you know, allies of his, like...
Right, so, you know, so why... Why? So why do this stuff that is so clearly deleterious to all the good work you did?
Maybe because you have faith that people will not be mobilized against you, against these efforts. Through the PR efforts.
I guess I'm a cynic, Preston, but the American electorate has never, not in my lifetime, has the American electorate ever impressed me with its... perceptiveness?
Right. But, you know, and maybe he just, you know, is going to accept that. You know, he's charged all the time with having this huge ego. Maybe in some ways you've got to have some confidence, I think, to get up there and get out there like he does. But in some ways he left his ego behind because he knew he was going to get attacked, especially in 2004. And he chose to run again. He knew people were just going to dump all over him. He's to the point where that's okay. If he did have a big ego, he would avoid that personal attack.
Do you think that some of this is, and I hate to even use this language, Preston, somewhere in there is there, and because I've heard it in some of his supporters, this urge to hasten the collapse? In other words, go ahead and let McCain have it.
And
let him drive it all into the ground, and then let America wake up, and when America wakes up, we'll be standing here?
I don't know. I haven't heard him say such a thing. Like during.
No. This is all speculative based on some things that I've heard people who are inclined to support third-party candidates say. I mean, some of it's been said on this show.
Uh-huh. I've heard that theory from other people. I don't see Nader feeling that way. Because I think, you know, his reading of it is, you know, we can't let it collapse and let them have it, and you know, then people will learn. Because I don't know, I think he's quite concerned about. He puts out a warning, and, you know, instead of letting things collapse, to build things yourselves. And he says time and time again, if you don't turn on to politics, politics are going to turn on you. And he sees. In some ways, the collapse has already taken place. I mean, he really sees he's out there with most impoverished people, the most run-down schools. And, you know, that's where he would do his campaign stops and get a little bit of press.
Well, I've got an email coming in here from our buddy Spike up in PA. And he says, I never had an interest in elections and politics until I heard Nader in 2000.
Yeah. Thank you, Spike. That's a great point.
And there are people who are like that. I mean, I remember the guys from Radiohead holding up the sign that said "Let Nader debate" on Saturday Night Live, and the crowd just cheered wildly. And you've got some of that going on with the Obama campaign. People who were never interested in politics, who were born cynical about politics, who are now energized to go forward and try to see Barack Obama elected.
Yep. Yep, and that actually reminds me of another good thing that came from Nader running in 2000 was that he did pull a lot of people who were otherwise so disinterested they were not going to vote And as he pulled those people in, they may have voted for him for president, but they often voted for a bunch of Democrats. And The Hill, the D.C. publication, noted that his participation got a couple people elected to Senate and House positions. Never gets credit for that. Something else, a point I wanted to make was how allies of him, then they were assaulted, people like Patti Smith, on progressive radio, just knocked over the head over this stuff. It was amazing. Let me leave you with one resource.
Okay.
Listeners might find it interesting as well. There was a documentary made about Hayter a year or two ago. Very interesting. I think it goes a little deeper into these issues. It's called An Unreasonable Man. It's on Amazon. I think a lot of people wrote a lot of interesting customer reviews about it. Most thought it was quite good and fair, you know, and funny. There's some very funny parts of the film. And, again, let's not let them destroy his legacy.
And give the name of the film again, please.
An Unreasonable Man.
Okay.
And I think it comes from a quote from somebody about how it is that change comes, and it comes from people who are sometimes seemingly unreasonable. But
and, you know, even members of the Democratic Party acknowledge the basic problem, and it all goes to money. You can't get around it. Whether it's Dennis Kucinich or somebody who was on the program like Bob Filner from Southern California. You know, they both said, you know, there's a bunch of people that call themselves Democrats that are in the majority in the House of Representatives who can't be brought to take a bold stand on the occupation of Iraq because they're making a fortune off of it.
Yep. I think, isn't it Dianne Feinstein's husband?
Yeah, she's one of them.
Military lobbyist.
Sure.
But, you know... You know, there are great Dems, you know, Bernie Sanders and Kucinich, and, you know, I think even Hillary Clinton, who gets a lot of criticism from further left people, does some surprisingly bold and progressive work at times. You know, I think it kind of feeds our cynicism sometimes. You know, the right wing, of course, is going to smash her all the time, but... You know, even the far left, you know, they often have nothing good to say about her.
Good things. I had never heard as much vitriol directed at Hillary Clinton until 2008. I mean, it was, you know, right wing, you know, Hillary, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She killed Vince Foster. See, I shot a watermelon to prove it. You know, that kind of insanity. And lo and behold, the 2008 presidential election cycle comes around. And, yeah. The whole bunch of the same stuff started flowing out of the so-called left.
Yeah.
And I was just going, where the hell did this come from?
Yeah. And when she would do things, she would go and go on O'Reilly's show. And then she was there, that same accusation. She's in bed with the right wing. You know, Obama just went on with O'Reilly. And I think it's really good that generally people aren't going, Obama must be in bed.
No, I just keep seeing this stuff and thinking, you know, again, that line from the 23rd Psalm, thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and my cup runneth over. You know, very few people know what that means. That's kind of snide. That's kind of snarky. That's, hey, thanks. You know, quit helping.
But they're going to try to use that person when they show up, and is that what it refers to? And they're trying to exploit them by them showing up and that kind of thing?
Well, for me, when I think of that, it's just, you know, the image is beautiful because you've got this prepared table. You've got the big spread, and, you know, you got all you can drink. But you got to do it surrounded by people who hate your guts. You know, what kind, you know, yeah, I'm going to do some digesting over that.
Yeah, and probably does end up being a mixed bag for him and Hillary. And
well, with the hardcore, there's no winning. There's nobody who was watching O'Reilly that got convinced to vote for Barack Obama.
I don't know. I think O'Reilly has people who wander in. I think maybe some softer right wingers who might be open to an idea or two, and I think some Democrats also tune into that program every now and again, and they need to learn how to begin to respond to some of these, you know, the sort of rhetorical trickery and thought traps that a person like O'Reilly will put out there.
Yeah, but when you're learning, to bullfight, Preston, you don't start off with the meanest bull in the corral. And I'm not according him that kind of status, but there are baby steps to be taken, if you know what I mean. But another great conversation. I do have to roll along because we're fresh out of time. But maybe we'll continue this at some later point.
Sounds good, Bob.
Thanks, Preston.
Take care, man. Bye-bye.
Bye. Great conversation all night long, gang. Thanks a million. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net and coalriverwind.org. Go there. Sign the petition. Be part of the solution. We're on top of literally the fight of our lives. This is it for live programming today. I will be on the road tomorrow, and I will be hopefully broadcasting by Wednesday evening. But tomorrow and Friday are both travel days, so they'll be